Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Winner.
Winner.
Right here, winner. You got me?
Winner.
Tell you why.
I miss him.
Oh, hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Didn't have your microphone on.
True.
Winner.
Winner.
And
David the victory.
This morning, Rob and I had a little bet before we came to work.
Yeah.
Just a gentleman's bet.
About what type of blouse Beth Ann McBride would wear today.
Man, that's horrible. Like not the bet, the jingle.
You like the other one better?
I like the other one better.
The Roxanne one?
Yeah,
better.
That's my favorite.
Well, here were the choices. This also shows.
Well, your bet was about why. I don't understand.
She quite often wears reindeer shirts to work.
She wears Christmas blouses.
Uh-huh. She does. So, I don't know how we get on the topic.
Right.
But what do you think she's going to wear today? Rob says.
I said actually a snowflake shirt.
She wore that yesterday.
And I said,
maybe that's why I thought
I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with just nothing.
I mean,
not nothing.
Hey.
But just a shirt.
Oh, so you won.
Yeah.
Because I saw her and she is wearing, there's no design.
Winner!
Advantage, Donnie.
Hello?
Winner. Did you hear that? You made me a winner today.
I know I did. So, but you almost lost because I almost wore my blue snowflake shirt.
And what is the fascination with the snowflake shirts?
First of all, if you really look, then you can tell it's a Christmas shirt. But to the person who's not going to stare at me, it doesn't look like a Christmas shirt to me.
Is Christmas your favorite time of year?
I think it is.
Well, it must be if you wear those shirts all year.
My favorite time of year?
Yeah, it's definitely Rob's time of the year.
Well, I got them from Target.
There you go.
And they were only $5.
Oh,
and I
there
got them
you
in
go.
Every color I could get.
Yeah, good luck. You know what that? You
that's
know what that
Cherokee
is?
Cherokee Christmas.
That's Cherokee Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with that label, Rob.
Today's shirt equals tomorrow's car rag.
Not one little bit.
If only you had gone to Walmart instead of Target.
Yes. I'm on my fourth
quality.
Or fifth laundering with my recent Target purchase.
You know, Cherokee, it wouldn't kill him to go just a little larger.
Oh, now we get to the truth.
Yeah.
But anyway, Beth Ann, thank you for making me a winner, and I'm sorry that you're not a winner because you're not one of the Walmart people. You're one of the Target people.
Whatever you want to think, Don.
Beth Ann, welcome to the family.
I know. We'll have to go targeting together.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye.
Not a verb.
And, man, when Christmas comes around, God, what a selection they have. Christmas sweaters, ladies. It's Target.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Knock yourselves out.
On all the shoppers as well.
Look at, are you a Walmart guy?
I hate everything.
No, come on.
I know your retail outlet.
Yes.
But hold on. If you have to choose. And Buzz, where do you line up?
I prefer Target, but, you know, Walmart being the monopoly that it is, I end up there.
Mm-hmm. Carrie always goes to Target. That's where we end up. But that's a Carrie thing. It's not a me thing.
You know, I'm interpreting from these two gentlemen here what I'm hearing
yes.
is that you are vastly outnumbered on this battle.
You're all incredibly stupid.
Yes, we are.
You're not buying into the Walmart master plan.
Sure is lucky I found my way to work today, stupid as I am.
Incredibly stupid not to believe. As brainwashed as those house frows are with Oprah,
yes.
I am brainwashed about Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart, their clothes are too small, too.
And to me,
everybody.
You can't beat the smell of a freshly clean Walmart.
Yeah.
You go in like on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Where will I find one?
Yeah, it smells like cats have been sick.
Yeah.
It smells like unicorns and Santa Claus.
And meanwhile, Target is where you meet the nicest people.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
There's never the smell of anything bad at Target.
It smells like pine-scented candles.
And popcorn.
Yeah, because you come in and they've got fresh popcorn right on the right.
Well, they have popcorn.
It's lovely.
Okay. WT.
Have you been to the... I've got a super Target now out where I live.
SWT. Super white trash.
Oh! And what is
it? I'll have to come over to the nearest Walmart and hang out with the gentry. I'll have to hang out with the blue bloods at the local Walmart.
Yes.
Mike, I cannot lie. Listen, there are plenty of booger eaters at Walmart, maybe even more so than at Target.
Oh, the devil you say.
It just comes down to the preference in the two big chains.
Yeah, that are very competitive.
I'm alone on the Walmart island here.
But I think this is mostly a Target area, Northern Virginia, don't you think?
Yes.
It's more Targets than
depends
Walmart.
On the hood.
It depends on the hood. Bus's hood.
Bus's hood? Bus's crazy hood. All right.
Bus and all the Crips.
Anyway, keep enjoying your Target lifestyle.
I will. I'm going to buy more clothes there this week.
I will continue to enjoy my Walmart lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
I've never purchased clothing at Walmart.
Neither.
I purchased tons of clothes at Target.
And they sell by weight there, don't they?
They do.
Tons of clothes?
Yes, by the yard.
I'll take 8 pounds of shirts.
Cut me off a yard of shirts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even buy clothes at Walmart, Jack. I mean,
well, there you go.
Because I feel the same way. I mean, I go into Walmart.
Now, you're talking about getting like bird seed or mulch.
No, I'm talking about I want a pair of Wrangler jeans or something. I go to Walmart and I go, you know, makes me wish that there were the days with the Pants Corral.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Convenient to Giant.
Hold on. Who's on this on the hotline? Hello.
Is Beth Ann around?
Yes. Who's calling, please?
It's George Larimore in Access Hollywood.
George Larimore, hold on, please.
George, hold.
Get right through.
Hold on, please.
1-800-1300-AM. George Larimore.
Guys, I don't have it in me to have the Walmart Target fight right now.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not really that motivated myself.
It don't matter enough to me. Okay. You know, besides, there's always those stories about gypsies at Walmart. There's always some bad story about Walmart.
Well, gypsies hit Safeways.
There is one thing Walmart has that Target doesn't, to the best of my knowledge.
What?
A greeter. I don't believe you're greeted when you come into Target.
But you know what?
And that's one of the things I hate about Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I don't like about the superstore, the big eating up everything else in its wake store, Walmart.
You can whisk into Target without any personal contact with anybody.
But a lot of times they're cutting back on the greeters now. And you don't even get a greeter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Hugs are great.
Who needs hugs are great. I love hugs.
Yeah.
You got to say that marketing campaign for Walmart with the whole thing with, you know, hey, we're, you know, we love you.
Oh, and the bouncing smiley face?
Oh, God, I'd like to kill it.
That's terribly exciting.
Kill it,
Jen. Love it. I love it. It's a home run with me.
Well, Ross.
And I like it when he wears his Zorro outfit.
That is, you know, that reminds me of the way you run around the radio station.
This is terribly exciting news.
Okay, well, here we go. No groaners today.
Hey now.
The
Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Uh-huh.
They're ready to believe you.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's give it thought in here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Everybody,
you listening?
Get into it. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Get retarded.
Let's do it.
Everybody.
Are you retarded?
Oh, rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
And hold on.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
A true story.
Yeah.
He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Happy birthday to my wife, Carrie.
That's nice. She gets a mention. You all forget my birthday, but your friggin' wife gets a mention. That's nice.
Happy birthday, Carrie. You're 58 and I love you. And all the ships at sea. It's very joyful at my house today. Now then. It's the home of the newsman who wants to turn Lake Hudson into a bog. And it stars Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right, yes. Thank you, Ronnie. And hello, everybody. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday, 9
Burbank here.
There you go. It's September 23rd, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636 from Canada or Mexico, 800-636-1067. And on WJFK FM in Washington, call 202-432-1067. We do have a busy show today.
Busy, busy, busy.
We'll be giving away a trip to Mexico.
Oh, that's a wonderful country.
Cabo Wabo Meltdown. Who doesn't love Mexico, Mike?
Sometimes I crack myself up. That's a wonderful country. I really didn't mean that.
I was insincere.
I mean, there are parts of it that are great. I'm sure the part you're sending people to
probably great.
You know what it is? And that's what we asked the promotions people. Because we said to them, listen, we know that basically Mexico equals crap. Where's the nice part of Mexico?
Yeah, send them to the nice part.
Where's the nice part?
If you want a real interesting vacation, send them to the bad part.
The nice part of Mexico, or as we call it, California.
How about, okay, you're a step ahead of me. Would you just back off from the microphone, please? I mean, it's like the oldest joke in the world, and you just can't give me a chance to get up and say it.
Send them to the part with scorpions and banditos.
No, it's a lovely, lovely part of Mexico.
All right.
You can get prescription drugs on absolutely every corner.
Yeah, cheap Viagra.
And there's the whole siesta thing, and the guys with the big conquistador mustaches. And
a lot of that. You get your donkey sex shows.
Burros, yeah, donkey sex shows.
Iguana.
We'll give away that trip on today's show.
Good.
I have a bulletin. I have lost my wedding ring. And
oh, dear.
This and the one that I lost.
Did it fall off because you're losing weight?
Yeah, I think so.
It happens.
But all I know is it's gone, and that one was a replacement.
Let me piggyback on that one.
So,
all right. You, bulletin from me.
Yeah?
I've lost mine, too. Oh, dear me.
I lost mine as well. So.
Where did you last see it? On your finger.
Yeah, this is the thing. I don't remember.
Really?
I mean, it's just gone.
Does the missus know?
Yeah, she knows.
Mm-hmm. Is she upset?
She's as upset as... No, not really. She's still pretty cool coming back from, her...
Relax. See, that's... I know, but I think that's lengthy marriage stuff. I think the fact she's not upset... If that was a young marriage, if that was a marriage anywhere from 5 years to newlywed, you would have a very upset woman on
your head. No, she's not upset. She just thinks I'm stupid. It's just another one in the category of things that I just can't seem to handle, something as simple as keeping a ring on my finger. Now, keep in mind...
Do you keep it on all the time, or will you have taken it off and put it down somewhere?
Mike, I always have my wedding ring on.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I always, and can I say something, ladies and gentlemen? Today, in front of you, I feel naked.
Yeah.
This finger, naked.
Isn't it that special one she got for you?
Oh, no, that's the one I lost a year ago.
The one with the Super Bowl writing on it?
Nice of you to call it like that.
What is it?
It's when we were married 20 years, she had a nice ring made that had two X's.
For 20, yes.
To indicate 20. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. I also used to call it a Super Bowl ring.
Hey, when you get married, when you're married for 30 years, you can get a ring that has triple X.
Baby. Or will people simply think of a Vin Diesel fan?
Or a porner.
I can get one next year.
So I got the...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right.
I got the one that's got the two X's, and I lost that one. And then I lost that, and I told her that I lost that about a year ago, and she said, you know what? I kept the other one.
Ah.
I kept the other one. So I got the other one, and now the other one's gone, and it's out there.
Okay.
So if anybody finds it, I think it's like one of those things. Put it in any mailbox.
It'll automatically.
Like with a hotel key, and
send it to the North Pole.
It will be mailed to me. Also, I'm obsessed with getting on my roof, and I'm positive I didn't lose the wedding ring when I was up on the roof today, but I've become obsessed with getting up on my roof now to move the antenna to get the high def channel, which you got to get from your local stations.
Mm-hmm. Can't you get a little thingy that adjusts it without you having to crawl up on the roof?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can, but frankly, Mike, it's more fun.
More fun to crawl up on your roof?
It's more fun to do that, and this drives my wife...
Get ready, gang.
Drives my wife nuts. That
Rob, get ready to run that board.
No, I'm telling you, no problem. No problem. Here's the only thing that drove her crazy.
You know how I hate doing the shows by myself, but I really don't want to get that early morning call.
I believe...
Don is on his back like a turtle.
Mike, I believe that today... What I did was I went up with a bigger stick. I went up with a bigger metal stick to put the antenna on to make it higher to get a better signal. But what I had to do was I would go up and I would move the antenna, put the big stick up there, do all this stuff. Then I would climb over. You know, I got a big roof. I got a roof that goes like it goes up and then it goes down.
Levels. It has different levels.
It's got little peaks and valleys in it. Right. What I did was in the room where I had the TV, I got it set on the channel so you could, it's 39-1, whatever the digital thing is.
Right.
And I was getting a very low signal. It goes beep, beep, beep.
Okay.
Beep.
The signal measurement.
So I turn my stereo system up all the way. The volume is up all the way. When I'm on the roof, I can hear from, I can hear from three rooms away up on the roof. I can hear boom, boom. And I would move it just a little bit, and it would go boom, 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 boom. And I'd move it just a little bit more, and then it would go boom, 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 boom.
That's good.
Success. Yeah. Got it. So I would get down off the ladder, climb all the way back downstairs, come in and go, oh, beautiful. That's a great picture. Then I would go to Channel 5, and it would be boom, boom. So back up on the ladder again.
Well, what if you want to go back to the other channel then?
Well, what you got to do is, and I eventually
you got to crawl up on the roof every time you want to change channels?
I finally found the sweet spot.
Okay, which where you get all the stations?
Well, at least for now. At least for today, for now. But that officially drove my wife over the edge today. Actually made her leave the house. I mean, I think she had stuff to do. She was going to go to work today anyway. But it...
You left sooner.
It drove her crazy because, first off, she doesn't like me climbing on the roof.
Do you make a racket when you're up there?
No. I try not to, but, you know...
You stomp around up there.
But it made her leave?
The racket in the house with the boob, boob, boob drove her crazy.
So it is the sweet spot.
Yeah, you're right. It is
a great television picture and Solitude, the Fortress of Solitude.
So all I hear is I'm up on the roof, and I've been up and down this gigantic, big ladder. It's one of those deals where you pull on the rope and the thing goes to make it even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I've been up and down like 8 times, and I'm drenched with sweat. And I come in the house, and from the garage, I can hear so like an alarm going off. I hear, bam, 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 bam. And she says, whatever you're doing, just end it by the time I get home.
Right.
Whatever you're doing. I go into my cave where my television is. This I am now getting the signal so clear, and I've got the stereo so loud.
Right.
I'm not kidding you. Two pictures have fallen off the wall.
Wow.
Hey.
Because of the boom, 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 boom.
But you've succeeded.
Yes.
And also, I think,
however,
the signal is stronger in the wintertime months, so you should be good until spring.
However, I find that I am obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know that I can...
Like, it's like when color TV first came around, and people would adjust the color, and you can probably get a little obsessive with it.
Well, it's too much, and
you need the thingy to control it.
No, because and the other thing that I found out, man, goddamn, do shingles on a roof get hot?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
As I was one of the times, see, I would climb up on the roof. And
naked. You're naked.
Yeah.
Right.
No, well, backing back down. And here's the other
red marks on your buttocks.
Here's the other cool thing about getting up on the roof to check the antenna, at least on my roof, because it's not a flat roof.
It's mountainous.
It's got lots of, like, little towers on it.
Yeah, all the dormers and things like that.
Yeah. And when I'm coming back, either coming back down to the ladder or climbing up to where the spot on the roof where the antenna is, you almost get to do that Spider-Man thing. You know what I mean?
May I remind you when you were a small child, didn't you break your leg jumping off your roof?
Broke my arm, jumped off the roof because I thought I was Batman.
See, but, I have a bad feeling about this if you keep crawling up on your roof.
I'm telling you, I love the power. And you know what? And you know what else I love being up there today?
Maybe I shouldn't say this because I'm in the same boat, but, you know, you are not as young as you used to be. And I would say that, one wrong step, and it could be... It could be hip replacement surgery.
Me and Miss Bobby and Tom Gavin.
Go get beds together.
Strong as bull. Believe I have got the thing figured out. Fantastic. And what I loved most of all was the old guy, my next door neighbor, who I have a relationship that goes something like this. Hi. Hi. That's it.
Good.
That's the way they all ought to be.
He's an older guy. He's a cool dude. You know, we don't bother him. He don't bother us.
If it gets any closer than that, they start borrowing your stuff.
You know, you pick up the mail or whatever. And generally, this guy is one of these guys. I think he's either retired or semi-retired. He is always doing something in his yard.
Uh-huh.
And I never do anything.
It's just one of those situations that if he, you know, happened to come home one evening after a particularly bad day, murdered his entire family, and posed the bodies at the dinner table, that you'd be interviewed by the local news station.
Yes, and I'd be the one saying
he seemed like a great guy. Yeah. He's kind of kept to himself. Kind of quiet.
Incidentally, you've kept that fantasy going for an awful long time.
Oh, well, that was my fantasy. But that was you know, many marriages ago.
That was with your first wife.
That was many marriages ago.
Fantasy.
Just one particularly bad holiday dinner when I think I might have, you know, come in here and fantasized to Don that...
Not on the air.
You know, that I actually would, you know, would get rid of them all and pose the bodies and have a nice quiet Thanksgiving dinner myself. Speak to them. You know, speak to their corpses. And say, hey, more turkey? Didn't think so. I think, yes, I will have another roll. Yes. Well, that was delicious. I think I'll go in and watch the football game. Anyone care to join me? Oh, all right. Suit yourself.
See, it was funny off the radio that it's funny on the radio now. It's too good.
Yes, and you know, pat them on the back and stuff like that. Yeah. Kiss them goodbye. And go out there and then have many meals after that would be the same way, you know, and a la Psycho. Norman Bates, you know.
But eventually the stench.
I wouldn't notice it. Because I would have snapped my cap. Isn't that true? The people that are nuts like that, they don't smell those type of things.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Do they?
Well, I mean, I would think all of your, what a horrible subject this is, all of your, you know, your serial killers over the smell because they're just so wiggy.
Well, no, and your Jeffrey Dahmer had, like, the vacuum seal thing, right?
Oh, did he really?
But I believe Jeffrey Dahmer would do the vacuum, what was the thing you liked that,
the food saver.
What was it? The food,
yeah. Food saver.
Mm-hmm. Food saver. I think, like, he put, like, brains and hands and stuff.
In the Ziploc bags?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think so.
I would think, however, that they would get, you know, immune to the stench.
I watched the movie about John Wayne Gacy, and that was part of the whole deal, that he got caught because of the horrible smell.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I found out that when you get older, you lose your sense of smell, and that's why it's hard to get senior citizens to bathe in a home.
Really?
They don't know they smell. Isn't that fascinating?
You're not speaking from personal experience,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not. Well,
okay, not a chance he's listening, right?
No, he doesn't have a radio.
Not a chance. So I'm up on the roof.
BD.
All right, guys, careful.
I didn't.
I know.
And that's all, I didn't mean anything by that.
So I'm up on the roof, and the neighbor who's always, the guy who's like 20 years older than me, but is always doing stuff in his yard, always, you know, either cutting something down or trimming his shrubs, always doing something. How happy I was to be up on the roof, and I was way up, and I saw him come out, and he had his, for whatever he was going to be doing, he had his goggles on, his Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles, mm-hmm. And he had the
not
little...
Not part of the regular workforce anymore, probably.
I think he's like semi-retired. He's got like, he's got the little workbench out there, the little, the wood horse thing.
Right.
And he's got his vroom, and at one point he's doing the vroom, and when there's a break in the action, I'd say, yo! Hey, yo! Hey, Norm, yo! And he turns around, and he actually takes his Kareem Abdul-Jabbar glasses off for a second, sees that it's me, and this is what you love. Now, this is a guy, I've lived next door to him for 8 years, except at Christmas. I don't speak. We don't speak.
Right.
He knows nothing of me. As a matter of fact, I think...
This is your next-door neighbor?
Next-door neighbor. He says, oh, my God! How did you get up there? So I scream back down. I climbed up here.
Now, if you jump like that, that's when you're going to take the fall.
And
I climbed up. Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he says, are you okay?
He said,
I'm fine.
I was just fixing the...
No, so then I got down from the ladder and we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
He came over and said, in very nice terms, said, from everything that he can tell, mm-hmm. I'm a total klutz. What was I doing up on the roof
mm-hmm.
by myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I find it invigorating. You know, I want to be like you, Norm.
Would you like to, maybe you tell him you'd like to climb up on his roof?
And then here's the best part. He said to me, and plus you shouldn't be doing that now. And I said, why? And he said, well, aren't you tired? And I said, not really.
Right.
He said, well, what time did you get up today? And I said, I don't know, between 6:30 and 7. He said, come on, what time do you really get up? I said, what? And he said, don't you do the morning radio show?
Ah, wow. Your next door neighbor.
And I said,
we
did about 15 years ago.
Wow.
He said, have you been doing a morning radio show the whole time that we've been? I said, no, an afternoon show. He said, oh, yeah. Well, okay then.
Okay then. It's nice visiting the land of out of it.
So there's, now, hey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What am I saying? It's like Rob with Big Daddy. There's not a chance this guy's listening because he didn't even know that we were on in the afternoon.
He's never converted.
I'm sorry for insulting two people that were oblivious to it.
No, they're both. So anyway, that's all. I love getting up on my roof, and if you could find my wedding ring. And then I saw a cop today. That was having a cop who was having the time of his life. He had to be. Here is the situation. It's a four-way intersection, and the traffic lights have gone screwy.
Mm.
It's that thing where they're just flashing one color.
Right.
And I think in that instance, this is what I'm surmising as I was sitting in the back. I've been watching this. I think that the cop can either shut down the whole system and go out there with the stop slow thing and actually do it like the New York City cops, and blow the whistle, you come this way. Or he can do what I saw this guy do. He goes over by the box.
Yeah.
And I can't see because I'm not close enough, but I can see that he's got what appears to be some kind of controller. Okay. I don't want to call it a joystick, but he's got a controller. And it's got a cord, just like a cord from an Xbox or a PlayStation, going up to the working part of this thing. And what he's doing is he's pressing the button, and the light turns green.
What a wonderful afternoon that would be. Yeah.
And he's trying hard to keep things moving, but you realize the cycle that these lights are on.
Mm-hmm.
What this guy would do, he got himself in all kinds of trouble because he would let it's a four-way crossing.
Right.
He would let one side go, and I was sitting there listening to some song in my car. Like 4 minutes. He let it go 4 minutes. Meanwhile, there's a huge backup both of
right.
ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who want to make left-hand turns and can't make left-hand turns.
Right.
So he is so frustrated because he's turning the light on and nobody's moving because no one can get through. And then at one point he clicks it again and it goes back to red again.
Probably having the time of his life. It's one of the fringe benefits of being a policeman.
So when I finally pulled up to him, everybody was going slowly through this intersection. I said, am I safe to roll through this one? And he said, yeah, you're safe to roll through it. And right as I'm rolling through it, just for a nanosecond, it just goes to red.
So hey.
He was just being funny.
He was playing with you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And
it's that kind of funny that's going to cause a major accident.
There was nobody, Michael, there was no one else. I was the last person from my way of traffic that was being let through. And I said to him, hey, is it cool if I go? Because I didn't know if he was going to hit the button or not.
If there was anybody that was on vacation, they're all back now. Because I believe traffic in our area is now completely back to normal.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Which is basically 24 hours a day.
Sure, that's why not? Feels good. Traffic, yes.
Jeez.
Yes, traffic. And I also appreciate a nice how you doing from the stop slow guy. Every once in a while, you're driving and they're doing the road work where they're either resurfacing or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the poor guy that's standing out there right as you're heading into all of this. And he's the first indication to cars that are coming around the corner at 45 miles an hour that you got to slow down.
Yeah.
Because everybody generally ignores the signs on the side of the road that say work ahead 1 mile because you don't see anything. So you keep going. Well, this poor guy, he's on the side of the road right by a turn. He's just got a sign that says slow. And people are coming around the corner. And they are just whoosh. Right.
Also known as the best job in construction if you happen to be a chain smoker.
Oh, yeah. Also the job... No slight intended. If you have that job, more power to you. Also, the job though that I use and continue to use with my son, as the ultimate as to what
he doesn't stay in
what
school.
Could happen if he does not fulfill his college
education. Well, it's a nice day. You know, you're not talking about.
Well, that's all today. I know.
Two tremendous amount of responsibility.
All I know that when I say to my kid, you know, you're getting very close to stop slow territory.
It is a job that can be screwed up. I've seen it done incorrectly. I've seen the guy that has the lazy sign sideways where it's just kind of leaning on his shoulder, and then he'll give you when he waves you on, he's showing the stop sign. I've seen them do that before.
Well, this guy today, he had a lot of people almost clip him, and I hit the brakes a little bit as I went past him, and he gave me the sign like, you know, hey, Thank you, brother.
I'd like to
think I saved a life on my way into work.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the jobs that if I was in the regular workforce, I could handle that job. I was thinking about it. You know, we both have been doing this radio thing for so long.
I don't know
if you're like me.
I would rather find a nice, cool gun.
No, that's one that's on my list. I'd take that job. The other one that'll amaze you, a job that I'd want.
What?
At Dulles Airport, I want to drive the shuttles. I want to drive the shuttles around all the planes.
Back and forth,
You don't have to be a pilot or anything like that, and you just drive their little shuttles. At Dulles Airport.
Are you retarded?
Yes.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
I answered that. And it is. It just seems to me it would be, you know, you could pretend you were a pilot without all the fear of taking off.
When do you want to start this job?
I was watching the guy when I came back from my vacation. And at Dulles Airport, for those of you that don't know, you land at the airport, and when you go to your terminal, you have to get to a main terminal, and usually it's done by a little tram system or a train. At Dulles Airport, you take an actual little mini bus, but it's more like a shuttle. It's a weird kind of...
I think
about 70 years ago, if they were futuristic.
Yeah.
And now they're not, but you're totally at the mercy of these guys with the double knit pants.
And you don't think that those guys leave that job every day just contemplating, a nice, cool gun?
No, I think...
You don't think after like being driving, around...
I'm like your brother. I like driving jobs.
Yeah, but it's a short distance back and forth. But you go 300 yards with incredibly smelly, irritated people.
Yeah, and you're not irritated because you have to be there. You're not going anywhere. You're on the clock.
Wow.
You're on the clock and all those people are in back.
Mike O'Mara's dream job.
I bet after a few hours, too, you could find shortcuts.
You know, the other job, seriously, the ultimate shuttle bus driver. I've always wanted to be a shuttle bus driver, either for like a rental car company or... But the one is in Pinehurst, North Carolina at the golf resort where you just go from the hotel to the golf course and back to the hotel again.
And then to the
three different hotels.
It's got to pay a handsome wage, too.
Yeah, that was the only drawback.
Other than that,
perfect job.
But I would do it. I would be entertaining, and I think I would get tips. You know, I'd try to cheat, but they wouldn't. What's that?
Is there a PA?
Oh, there always... No. If there wasn't a PA on my shuttle, I'd put one
my
in.
My shuttle.
Yeah, I'd put one in. Haven't you had good shuttle bus drivers and bad ones? Haven't you had ones that
I've never given it this much thought.
I've given it tremendous thought. There was an Avis shuttle bus driver who was fantastic. Gave us information, gave us, you know, where the car was going to be parked, how to get out of the airport area, and then you get the people that are, you know, usually here in Washington, D.C., I'm afraid to say, that could care less.
Well, as long as we're being open and bearing our souls and you've said this, I want to tell you what I want to do when it's over.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a shepherd.
A shepherd.
I want to be a shepherd.
Well, that's good because you like solitude and you love animals. That's a perfect job for you.
You dope. I'm kidding.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You don't want to be a shepherd?
No, I don't want to be a shepherd.
Please don't toy with me like that. What do you want to do, Buzz?
Cut the soles off my shoes, sit in a tree, and learn to play the flute.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah,
and I know you. You don't even have to tell me.
I want
to
be a grief counselor.
Wow.
I have the simplest wish. I just want to watch TV.
Yeah.
I just want to watch TV.
Probably it.
Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted.
Well, you could probably get a job in retail then, in an electronics store.
No, you see, Mike, I don't want to work when we're done with this. I just want to watch. I want to be television to be my full-time job.
Oh, okay.
That's what I want.
Yeah, see, I'm mapping that whole thing out. I have to. I'm just mapping the whole thing out.
I understand.
That sounds
like a good exit strategy. Mm-hmm. From me to you, that sounds like a winning proposition.
No, seriously, I someday will drive people around. When I'm really old.
See you at the airport.
Because I know you like
people. I'm an excellent driver.
You're a people
person. Well, you know that I've been a bus driver.
I know, but that was long ago.
And a damn good one.
School bus, right?
Far away, a school bus driver.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about it.
Get in the car, everybody.
No. That wouldn't be legal. Well, one.
Just one.
One to loosen up to chat with the nice folks.
Maybe just one. Mike, do you know, and here you are talking about what you'll be doing when our fabulous run is over. Do you know that we are just days away from starting our 20th year together?
Right. Wow. You and me?
Yep. Although we officially started the Don and Mike show in December, it was around this time, 20 years ago, that you started guest starring with me on my afternoon show.
Wow.
So it is, yes, 20 years.
Unbelievable.
20 years ago.
Unprecedented.
That's actually a career.
Yeah.
How many general managers do you think in 20 years that you and I have been working together, how many, and I'm only counting full-timers, how many? Buzz, why don't you answer?
I'll say 16.
Only five.
Five. I'm right with that. I had five.
Only five. How many program directors have we had in 20 years? Just off the top of your head.
Mike's counting his fingers.
And eight. Nine.
Nine.
I got nine.
Smokey.
Okay, oh, here, all right, you want the list?
Well, let me see if I got it. Let me. Can I try?
Smokey.
Smokey, then Matt Farber.
Mark St. John.
Mark St. Chuck Beck.
Correct.
God, at the other place. We had one more at the other place, didn't we?
I put me on the list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I had eight, because I didn't put you on the list.
And then you had the first guy here, Ed. Do you remember the guy?
Yeah, was he here like for a very short time after
right.
he got here?
And then Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jeremy. And then, see, this is probably what screwed up your list because I put me on here again.
Oh, okay.
That was
brief. So actually, not including you, it would have been seven.
Seven.
And Surf for a while was perfect.
Oh, that's right. There you go. Surf. Buzz, hold on. Bring that back up to eight.
Mm-hmm.
Between Ed and Jeremy.
Producers, seven. News directors, three. And in the 12 years that we have been syndicated with Westwood One, or I'm sorry, 10 years that we're having our 10th year, almost 11 now, how many different vice president general managers have there been as far as the Westwood One network goes in the 11 years that they've been syndicating our show?
That is a number I wouldn't even hazard a guess at. What is the number?
Buzz, you want to guess?
You mean on all the stations?
No, the head of the
company.
Just the one guy who's been at the top, one guy who's been the president of Westwood One Radio.
Westwood One, wow, I don't know. I'll say five.
17.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
17.
Winner.
We have...
Wow.
We have a winner.
Insane.
17.
At the network.
17 different chaps at the network.
Way to go, Westwood.
In our 20 years.
Salute.
Jesus. 20 years, and that's almost, and keep in mind, our show's only been syndicated for 12 of the 20 years that we've been working together.
Right.
So
the official anniversary will be December 1st?
Something like that. December, Robbie?
I think it is December
1st.
Well, they better get a fruit basket. That's all I'm saying.
Hold on. Here's a guy. Cliff, we're up on a break, but Cliff used to... Oh, he actually... now, Cliff, do you hold the stop, slow sign now, or did you used to? Cliff.
Well, someone's hit him.
Something's wrong with the button.
Cliff?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you actually take the class, and are you a sign holder now?
Oh, no. I'm a copier technician now. But that was probably about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's one of Mike's dream jobs.
Yeah, now yeah. I don't want it after talking to this guy.
The class is like 30 minutes long, but you have to have the class before they'll let you hold the sign.
That's a
shock. That's a shock. You need a 30 minutes
of training.
An entire half hour of training.
What is the best thing that ever happened to you when you were holding the stop slow sign?
I think somebody's throwing a cigarette at me.
Please remember this phone call the next time you need your copier fixed.
Yeah!
That's
all right. Now, in the 30-minute training, was that 15 minutes on the slow side and 15 minutes on the stop side? How did that...
That's fantastic.
It was a temp job. I was trying to, keep money between jobs and sign up with a temp agency.
Hey, but, you know, really, if you don't want to do anything, it ain't a bad gig, right?
Was it hard?
No.
It wasn't
as long as the weather's nice and you don't have to sit in the rain.
There you go.
I mean, just sit there.
And who doesn't like it when you get a chick out there?
Sure.
When you get a real weather-beaten, you know, like skin looks like Mac Davis is out there. You get a real weather-beaten, like, hey.
And the lady happens to be first in the line, you know, and you always just happen to hit the stop sign when she arrives. Especially if, like, you're working in the same area for a while and you recognize the car.
You see her? Oh, you know
it's time to stop.
It reminds me. You know who I've seen recently on my way to work?
Who?
You know the broad over at the high school there by the radio station?
Crossing lady?
The crossing lady. The lady who...
The evil crossing
guard. She dyes her hair platinum blonde, and she must live inside a tanning booth because she has that fake tan, and between...
And she's inherently evil.
Yeah, it looks like a sweet potato that's been busted open.
Between the skin and the hair, which is like day glow color, this woman, and she, you want to talk about a power freak.
She is now, when we used to do middays, we did middays, and we'd be busting out of here at 3 o'clock the same time the school was letting out, and she was rotten.
You know, like, I don't hate having to sit there at whatever time it is, 1:15 in the afternoon, and she's giving me the, like this, talk to the hand thing, and I inch up just a little bit, and then I get the whistle like,
yeah, she goes nuts.
You know, I'm not moving, moving. All of this, you know, so Johnny Spoiled can drive Daddy's BMW out of this high school in front of me.
And this high school, you see all these, like, rich kid cars.
I see this parade of cars nicer than mine, and for whatever reason, this woman who looks like a clown, I swear to God, if no one's ever stopped this woman to say, you know, you might be a good-looking chick.
Right.
But first, whatever you've done to your hair, take it down 10 notches.
I would always anticipate her, and when she would stop the other lane and then take her time turning around and waving, that was her big, that's a big power move. Mm-hmm. You stop the one lane of traffic, then you put it down, and you just take your time. You kind of wait two beats, and I wouldn't let for, as soon as she would stop the other line, I would start, and it would drive her nuts. I got the whistle 11 or 12 times from her.
I got the whistle today.
Yeah.
Today I got the whistle from her.
And I would always be, I'd fly by because, you know, because she had stopped the other lane of traffic. It was okay to go. She wasn't waving me on, but she was going to. And it would be like, don't worry, pound sand.
And her skin, it's not brown and it's not red.
Right.
But it's not normal. It's sweet potato. Yeah. You know,
isn't it sort of Crayola gold or Crayola copper?
Yeah, and then whatever she does to the hair, and then today I noticed as well because I had a while to sit.
What's she doing out there at 1:15?
I guess some of the,
like, a half day or something.
Spoiled brats were getting out.
Brat.
Anyway, I noticed today she had on the pink day glow nail polish.
Oh, well, yeah, with those talons.
You know, let me just say, a classy lady. Great job, and a classy lady. Always a pleasure getting the whistle from the traffic guard right up here.
Slather that Day-Glo pink nail polish on those talons so you don't have to pay attention to the potatoes that are growing underneath them.
We've got a break. We're giving away the trip to Mexico today.
Right. It's a wonderful country.
And then when we come back, a segment that we call How About That?
Oh, I can't wait.
How About That? And then, listen, that's it. That's the whole bit right there. How about that? Yeah. We'll be right back with something. Yeah, you'll say, how about that? How about that?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Rob, this is Rob. Rob Grill with the Grassroots. I got your message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting into town probably about noon, and I'll be over in that area around 2. So, we can work that out. That'd be great. And then we can talk to Don about his singing ability or lack thereof, and we can figure that one out, too. So I'll give you a call tomorrow during business hours and try to hook this thing up. Thanks. Bye. Yeah, Rob, this is Rob Grill with Grassroots. You've got the number. I just wanted to let you know I'm arriving at Dulles at noon, and I'm going to take a cab, and then I have the show at 7. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure, I'm not going to have a car or anything. I don't know if a cab would be right or not, but give me a call back. I'll be home this evening. If you can, call me and let me know if we can work out what time we can do this and discuss the other parts of it. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
The rock star.
The Don and Mike Show.
Noted Bonesman, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Mara.
And that was Rob Grill, of course. The Grassroots. One of my guilty pleasures. I like the Grassroots. I love
the Beach Boys.
And I guess it was yesterday on Ellen DeGeneres' show, which is very good.
Oh, she's brilliant.
She's funny.
They had a segment. They kept promoting Brian Wilson will be out to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like tarted. I mean,
yeah,
he's got
some issues, yes.
Yeah. So the song's Good Vibrations. And he can't hit the notes.
Right.
There's not a chance. He's got 12 different background singers.
Is he still speaking like the greenskeeper in Caddyshack?
He does not speak.
Oh, really?
And here's what happens. They start, they go, here's Brian Wilson, and he's got an incredible orchestra behind him, and he's sitting on a stool, and there's a keyboard in front of him.
Right.
And they go, one, two, three, four. Ah, they start singing the song. And when you hear the part with the organ, Brian Wilson's hands are at shoulder level as he's pretending to play the organ.
Oh, boy.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm
sad.
He's sitting on the stool.
Hasn't he been doing that for 20 years?
Well, he used to leave his hands down by the keys.
That's back when they had the organ unplugged.
So you couldn't see that the organ was unplugged.
Right.
Now, I mean, why give the guy an organ? And I love him. I think he's this generation's Beethoven.
I think because that's his comfort zone, sitting in front of the organ. Mm-hmm. I think if he was like to just stand up in front of a microphone, he might even look more, Tarzan,
having his hands on.
But anybody that saw, happened to see that Ellen DeGeneres show.
And no interview, huh?
That, well, I think she attempted, but she walked over and said something like, that was great. And
it's going to be weird. I didn't do any...
Drool cup.
Why? I keep my hands at shoulder length. Shoulder height, rather.
The only picture. The keys are way down here.
You can see the gap between his hands.
The keys are here.
See you, Mrs. Craig.
Where his hands are way up here.
Right.
You're wearing green so you can hide. You're a tramp.
Oh, it's, hold on.
Some Sunday morning,
like that.
Ago,
there he is.
Brian Wilson.
Me. For some Sunday morning, for someone to be.
Thank you, Brian.
You'll be shining an old melody. For some Sunday morning, for someone in me.
Hello!
Okay, hello, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
We were just talking during the break, and I believe that this great skit, this great one-line comedy bit we do, was formerly known as Isn't That Something?
Yes, okay. It has now been modified for 2004.
It's called...
It's called How... What is it?
It's called How About That?
How About That? You might have remembered this years ago as Isn't That Something?
And if you really want to get crazy with it, and you kids at home, you want to play along, make it How About That.
How about that?
Apostrophe.
Yeah, right. Apostrophe B-O-U-T. How about that?
That'll play better in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And for those of you hip-hop urbanites, how about that?
D-A-T.
Yeah, we can modify it for each region of the country that the show broadcasts in.
But either way, let me get into the story and you'll see why. We just say,
now will there be a penalty if any of us slip up and happen to say, isn't that something?
I think we're going to try to stick to how about that.
I will try my best.
This comes from Dallas. Light bulb burns for 96 years.
How about that?
All right, that's pretty much the end of the bit. Now we're going to call the lady.
Uh-huh.
This is a Guinness Book of World Records honor. A 4-watt bulb has been burning at a firehouse, in California since it was turned on in 1901.
Wow.
So we got the story from somebody in Dallas. The place is in California.
Mm-hmm.
Or hold on.
An opera house.
Excuse me. The light bulb is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Rob, where is the light bulb?
The light bulb that we're going to discuss is in Dallas. The other light bulb is in California. You see, this is...
Wait, what's going on here?
Well,
the one we're talking about is the one that's burned for 96 years.
This is the second oldest burning light bulb in America, and it's in Dallas in an opera house.
Oh, how about that?
So we're doing how about that? You couldn't get us the oldest? We had to get the second oldest light bulb?
Already booked.
This isn't the one that's burned for 96 years?
Yes, and they just had a birthday party for it.
And this is the one that was at the opera house?
Yes, in Texas.
How about that?
40-watt bulb?
Yes.
40-watt bulb with an old, sturdy carbon filament.
Hello, Sarah?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sarah? What, Robbie?
You may have misdialed.
Well, did we call like a cell phone with somebody?
The children are playing with the phone.
You hear that, kid?
How about that?
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Oh!
Yeah. I know. See, it's very easy.
It's very easy to fall into.
Very, very tricky. Made of thick glass. They don't make them like that anymore.
How about that?
North Fort Worth Historical Society.
Hi, is this Sarah?
Yes, it is.
Sarah, hi. This is Don and Mike, and I think someone from our show called. And welcome to our show as we talk to the lady who's got a light bulb that's been burning for 96 years.
Ha, thank you.
Is that 96 years continuously?
Well, it did have a couple of interruptions in the power.
Uh-huh.
They were accidental. Well, one was an accidental. It had to be disconnected when the building it was in was going to be turned
off. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, but it came back on, which is even more amazing.
How about that? And so how many years had passed before the building was destroyed and you had to turn it off for a brief period of time?
Well, the building that was the Palace Theater, where the bulb was burning over the backstage.
You said it was the Palace Theater?
Yes.
How about that?
Originally the old Byers Opera House in downtown Fort Worth.
Uh-huh.
You know, years later it became the Palace Movie Theater, one of the, you know, fine old Art Deco movie houses.
I have to just ask this lady like one word questions.
But then it was a place where I went as a child, but I didn't know the bulb was there then. But it was torn down in 1977, and the man who owned the property, of course, knew the story and the history of the bulb, so he made sure that it was...
Ma'am?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. We're on a rigged network schedule.
Yeah, it's terrible. We have so many questions about this bulb.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
What's the manufacturer of the bulb?
We still do not know for sure. There aren't no markings that we can see.
And the glass that this light bulb is made of, is it a thick glass, a thin glass?
It is a thick glass. It's
thin
a hand-blown bulb.
Thick glass?
Yes.
How about that?
Is it hot to the touch?
No, it's really not. It's kept on a pretty low power, so it's not too stressed out.
So you can put your hand on it without burning your hand?
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. It's about 40 watts.
Wow.
And the entire time that it burns, is somebody watching it burn to make sure that it doesn't go out?
Well, not the whole time, no. When we leave at night, you know, we check on it. That's the light that I walk out of the museum to in the evenings, but no. Of course, there's security in the building.
Does it smell?
No.
How about that?
No, I've never noticed anything.
Has anybody tried to find the manufacturer? Because, I mean, if it lasted 96 years, I would, you know, first of all, I'd say, how about that? And then I would try to find the manufacturer to see if we could get some more.
Well, isn't that the... Yes, yes. We would love to have
some
more.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
We have tried to now. We need to have it researched, but we're not going to unscrew it to do it.
Sarah?
Yes?
What do people say when they see this bulb most often? What do they say?
Most often it's... Wow.
And
that's what we
ask you, ma'am.
Kids.
How often do you get, how about that?
We get that a lot.
I bet you do.
That's right after wow.
Do you suppose that because this light bulb has burned for 96 years that it's somehow haunted?
Well, it had a lot of legends and a little superstition attached to it, but no, I don't think it's really haunted.
How about that?
It's just famous. And
what else can you tell us about the bulb?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, what else can you tell us about this bulb?
Well, where it was, it saw a lot of movie stars go by.
That's when it came
and went from the theater.
Tell us about the party you had for the light bulb.
Oh, it was fun. We had chocolate cake. We had champagne. We sang happy birthday.
How about that?
We had all the news stations here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the news stations. How about that?
What kind? Did the light bulb eat cake and drink champagne?
No.
I'm kidding. How about that?
No, we had to do that for it. But.
Right. Yeah. Well, how about that?
So your bulb is the number two bulb.
Yes, that's what we have been told.
Well, do you know which number one?
Actually, it's supposed to be one that's in a firehouse out in Livermore, California.
Where was that?
In Livermore, California.
Well, how about that?
103 years.
Wow.
So it's got a few years on us, but hey, man, we've got a great history, so keep that in mind.
You must try not to break this light bulb.
We do. We don't dust. We don't jiggle it. We don't slam the door. Yeah, we watch it.
How about that, huh? Yeah, how about that?
Well, that's something. Isn't that something? I mean, how about that?
How about that?
Yeah, so, that's great. That's a hell of a bulb. I mean, a heck of a bulb.
So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being on the show. The show is called How About That?
You know, I figured that.
We'd like to find curious human interest stories that... caused us and our listeners to say, how about that?
All right.
Let me ask you something. Now that you've been on the show, it used to be known as, isn't that something?
Which would you say if you saw your own bulb that had burned for 96 years? Would you say, isn't that something, or would you say, how about that?
I think I'd say, how about that?
Yeah, and then nobody said it that way. How about that?
Yeah.
I think I offered up that tone.
Yeah.
That tone when we were inside the interview.
I didn't know that. How about that?
Nice talking to you, Sarah.
Nice to talk to y'all, too. Thanks for having me.
Y'all have a great day.
Have you been on other radio shows?
A couple.
How about that?
New Zealand and Scotland.
Yeah.
How about that? See you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We haven't done that bit in a long time. How about that?
Isn't that something?
And that's the perfect music.
That's the theme.
For how about that?
Formerly known as Isn't That Something.
Sure. And it's, you know, isn't it tough? It's tough to do how about that without saying isn't that something.
Yeah, it is. Well, I thought we did a good job.
I think the next time we do how about that, we can't say isn't that something, and we can't say wow.
Yeah.
Bust said a couple of wows in there.
I couldn't help myself.
Well.
96 years, wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Isn't that something?
Jeez, somebody kill me now.
Hello.
Hello, hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I see fish.
There you go, Granny.
I agree. When we come back, something else you'll enjoy. How about that?
The Don and Mike Show.
That's something.
Pauline?
Yeah?
What's Superman's name?
Clark Kent.
No. The actor.
Christopher Reeve.
The new one.
Dean Cain?
Right. Now, where does he work?
At the Daily Planet newspaper in Metropolis.
Hey.
I know, I'm just teasing. They're on the Warner Brothers lot.
Fine. Could you get him for me, please?
Sure.
Dean Cain, Hank Kingsley. Listen, I just wanted to call you, congratulate you on the People's Choice gig. It's another pleat in your cape. And here it is, bottom line. Al Hairlip Hartman, you don't want this guy. You can't understand this guy. You don't want to be introduced as Superman, do you? Whereas I, your biggest fan, will be able to announce you as Superman. Or Dean Cain, sure. Whatever you... Hello?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello?
The cure for pronated foot. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Let's do a station break here. Bakersfield, California, KGEO. Green Bay, Packerland, WNFL. And Iowa City, Iowa, KCJJ. Tampa Bay, 1010.
The Buzz,
WBZZ in Tampa Bay. We'll give away a trip to Mexico, the Cabo Wabo Meltdown. That involves, let me see, round trip air, ground transportation, a stay at the beautiful Hotel Hacienda, tickets to the Sammy Hagar concert Friday and Saturday night, and invitations to Sammy's recovery party on Sunday.
That's fantastic, and Sammy knows how to party.
We'll give that away soon. I'll tell you how momentarily. It does involve the world's oldest phone screener.
That's very exciting.
I'm not even going to bring up today. I got a note about Joe. I chatted with Joe yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on tomorrow's show we'll have time to talk with Joe about why he's so upset about his employee review.
Yeah, I understand that all the things that were written were not received that well by Joe.
Mm. Joe has been, he's told everybody in the building.
Don't like it. What's the deal?
Can't believe I worked on the Don and Mike show. I got a 2 for being creative.
It's not right.
I guess it was 2 on a... What is the number scale?
5.
2 out of 5?
Yeah, after I got my review, I got, I think, something less than stellar in organizational skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cameron left the original of my report on the photocopier. So I got a chance to call him. I said, hey, remember me? I'm the guy who's not organized. I got your papers.
Oh. You should have taken the original and doctored it.
Get the music that we just used, because we have a good follow-up call.
We do?
For how about that?
Oh, fantastic.
Because I know that all across America, you're still saying, how about that?
How about that? And you may be saying, isn't that something?
Isn't that something?
Or simply, wow.
Right.
Ain't that something?
Ain't that something?
Ain't that something? You got it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, get it queued up real fast.
And you can't talk about how about that without that music now.
No. You have a follow-up call.
They go together.
Real fast. You find the cut? Let's drop, because we'll take this call then from John in Sacramento. John.
D&M.
John, what's happening?
Radio God.
Hi there.
What is this? How about that?
What?
Hey, Livermore light bulb. I've been to that fire station as a little field trip when I was a youngster.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
They have that thing so high up in the air, there are constant little kids going in with their necks bent over. It's a health hazard.
How about that?
So you're thin glass.
Because he saw the number one light bulb that's been on.
You said they have it high up.
Yes.
And you've got constant kids coming in with their necks bent over. What do you mean? You mean their necks craned trying to see it?
Yes, that's right. Compromising their skeletal health.
It's Sacramento. I just had
no, Livermore, yeah.
How about that?
Look at that number one bulb anytime on the internet. They've got a camera on it all the time.
Rob.
What?
Rob, do not stare at the bulb.
Sir, do not call the radio show.
No, Don.
What?
One other thing I'd like...
Yeah.
How about that?
All right.
You've learned over the years, my friend.
Sorry about that. I just saw what we had on the screen. It was flashing. The guy who had actually seen the number one light bulb.
And it's you crane your neck to see upwards. You don't bend your neck over.
Well, Mike, that's just the Sacramento venom in you coming out.
Kids for years have bent their necks over to see that bulb.
Sure is high! I mean, the guy was a tool, but still, he was a good follow-up for how about that.
Yeah, from Livermore.
Ain't that something?
Livermore.
Ain't that something?
That is a smelly sounding town.
It's a pretty name, really.
So here's the...
Welcome to Livermore.
Incidentally, I was going to make a comment about Britney Spears.
Right.
But I won't.
Okay.
With liver and smells.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a copy of her prenup with the guy, the Kevin, what's his name? Kevin Federline.
Federline, he with the unshaven and the crooked hat.
She's the bride of Federline.
So,
that's good, I like that.
She gets him to sign a prenup. And here now, I'd be glad to tell you exactly what happened.
This is a prenup, obviously, that's designed to protect her.
Correct. If Brittany and Kevin ever split up, Kevin gets $300,000 a year for every 2 years that they stay married. Sounds like a game show.
Yeah.
So do the math on this. If they stay married 10 years and then he says, I'm sick of you because you walk into restrooms with dirty feet, he gets 5 yearly payments of $300,000.
Really?
Now, also,
sweet.
Britney Spears had written into this deal, she has no financial obligation to his kids.
Mm-hmm.
So all that talk about her being a stepmom, forget that. And any gift that is valued, that either one of them gives to the other, valued at more than $10,000, will require a legal document from a lawyer saying who it belongs to.
Really?
All of this in the prenup. And, you know, the first thing that they're going to argue about, not argue, but they're going to decide, her wedding dress cost $26,000.
Uh-huh.
So right out of the chute.
He could say that's community property.
Their first decision was, whose dress is it?
We know who's going to get that.
Wow. Yeah, well, yeah, she got
sure.
it. She got it, and
but
she got
him. But for what she makes, that is a very, very well-written prenup for her, I would think.
Except for one thing. Have you heard the latest? There are reports now that no wedding license was ever filed, and Us Weekly is coming out with a story next week saying it was a faux wedding.
Yeah, but you know what? It's done like that a lot.
Right.
They've got, I think you've got the law? You got like a week or something like that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a week.
Yeah, in California, it's a week.
Faux wedding, is that like a fake wedding?
Yes.
But here's
Us Weekly is calling it.
From people.com. This is a quote from Kevin. God, he is such a moron. Basically, those reports that we didn't legally wed are bull S.
Ah.
But it don't bother me none.
Good.
Those reports.
Now, what is he? He's a backup dancer, right?
That's a quote, though. Basically, those reports that we didn't legally wed are bull S. But it don't bother me none. Those reports.
He is on, yeah.
I see fish.
Where is he from? Is he a Clampett, too?
Yeah, he's from down in Louisiana like she is.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I thought the other guy was from Louisiana.
I think this one is, too.
Wow.
Either way, that's the what's happening with the prenup.
Better line. It don't bother me none.
That's our bull ass. But it don't bother me none.
I don't need to shave none.
It don't bother me none.
I'm Federline.
Quit your hat.
Get into character.
All right.
Bob Barker is being sued again.
Oh my.
As a matter of fact, this would probably really be good for tomorrow.
Okay, you got it. You don't have to ask me twice on that one.
All right, here's the latest with Bob. This is all in the tabloids now this week.
Wonderful.
Former production assistant, some broad named Linda, quoted, says, "The Price is Right is a weird show. It is the most dysfunctional family you've ever seen." Bob has been sued by 9 different women who alleged either sexual stuff or wrongful termination.
Lies.
There's another girl that he just fired last year because he said she got too fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chain reaction.
One of his Barker's beauties.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You had 4 of them that got together against him. Janice was one of them. The lovely Janice will wind it up and let it go. Let it go. There were, at one time, 14 women working on the show. 14 Barker's Beauties.
Got it with the barbecue.
In one day, they fired 5 of them.
Really?
And here's what they're saying. Now, the CBS says they weren't fired. They just weren't renewed. All of these women have different stories about Bob and why it is that these 4 new women who are alleging these things say that Bob had something to do with them. For instance, one of them, he said to her, this is a quote now from Bob, "You are the butt model. Repeat after me. You are the butt model."
Save that, please.
And then he said, "Remember, butt model, I can fire your ass."
Really?
Now, she's also, at one point, told to stand between 2 white girls, 2 Caucasian girls, while they're standing by a range or a refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Bob says, and I don't think this is bad, but they bring this up. Bob says, do the reverse Oreo, that he wants the 2 white girls on the outside and the black girl on the inside.
Wow.
That's Bob.
Bob Barker. He seems so dignified.
Also Bob, let me see, chased her and cursed at her for being late. Chased after her on the set of The Price is Right with a clock in his hand.
I got a picture of that. It was a big oversized clock.
All right. Game. Hold on a
clock
second.
Game. Wow.
And then you have...
Hold in 1 or 2.
Let's see. Here's what Bob Barker says. Holly's weight has... This is a quote now from Bob.
Holly's weight
has nothing to do with her departure from The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
Her dress size fluctuated from an 8 to a 14. If the company were going to terminate her for a weight problem, Holly would have been gone years ago. So,
he'll be along tomorrow.
And then there's this. There's Bob's production assistant who has now turned the dime on him.
Right.
She says, and she's standing up for one of these women that Bob fired, and they're suing him now.
Probably Holly.
She says, at least on one occasion with one of these women in front of a studio audience, Bob called one of his beauties a stupid bitch and an effing idiot.
Wow. Seems harsh.
He made her life miserable. Bitch. He made her life miserable.
Wow.
That's
hard to believe.
It just seems so lovable. He's like America's grandfather.
Hold on. Also, another one of the black women says she was instructed to mark a B on her list. Now, this, a producer said that Bob instructed her to mark a B next to African-American contestants because Bob wanted to make sure that there were no more than two African-American contestants up on contestants row at any particular time. Not because he didn't want to have blacks.
Put a B next to the black ones.
Because he wanted to make sure he had a nice mixture.
Right.
And for Bob, two is okay.
Right.
Three would be...
unacceptable.
Three is too many.
Oh, my God.
And then here's...
wow.
What's her name? Here's the quote from... I don't know which one it is. Ginger. That's the name.
One of my beauties.
Bob Barker is the most vicious man I've ever met in my life. I honestly liked him before I got involved in these lawsuits until I took his deposition, and I thought, my God, I have worked for a monster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so how about that Bob Barker?
It's quite a track record that he has, and it's pretty... I wouldn't mind you saving all that. That would be lovely. I'd love to review that.
You're a butt model.
You're a butt model. Put a B next to the black ones.
You are the butt model. Wow. Repeat after me.
I am a vicious monster.
Now, butt model, I can fire your ass.
Do the reverse Oreo.
Great is that? How great is that?
Wow.
Elton John is a gay, yeah. And Elton John is deciding if he's going to quit or not. Now, you know, I'm of the belief that I like Elton John, but I think he's one of these guys like Cher that's done a farewell tour that's, like, never ending.
Well,
right?
And Elton, once he started doing all the animated stuff, you know, I got to... It's not like he's doing what he used to do.
Yeah.
So here's...
So he's Celine's standby. When Celine goes on vacation, Caesars, where she has
right?
the theater...
Yeah, Caesar's Palace, right.
He fills in when Celine Dion goes on vacation.
I'd rather see him than Celine Dion.
Sure.
Elton John is going to follow his dream. He's going to stop playing and writing music for a while.
And eat Twinkies.
Hold it. You don't know how close you are, Mike.
Really?
You don't know how friggin' close you are.
Well, you're going to tell us about his dream.
First, he wants to open a retirement home.
Okay.
For him and his showbiz pals, including the Pet Shop Boys.
All getting older.
Remember the Pet Shop Boys?
Hello.
And I know we have a tape of them somewhere when they were on our old morning show. They said, we never listened to Don and Mike because they're so boring.
Isn't it Chris Lowe? Isn't he one of the
Neil Tennant?
Neil Tennant is the guy that I... Oh, you got it, Robbie? Oh, all right, here it is. Here's the Pet Shop Boys.
Hi, this is Neil Tennant.
I'm Chris Lowe. We're the Pet Shop Boys.
And we never listen to John Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Because they're too boring.
Too boring. No. Let's get to the nursing home with Elton.
So he wants to live in a big retirement home with the Pet Shop Boys.
Wow.
And his other quote is...
Cumulative drug effect.
After he does that, he wants to buy a big chateau in France and just walk around in caftans eating donuts all day.
Wow.
That's all he wants to do.
So you know what we can really look forward to with Elton John? Because you know the one thing that's true, there's truth in all of these stories,
yes.
But it sounds to me what Elton really wants to do is what Brando did. Mm-hmm. He wants to Brando it, and so I think we can look forward to seeing Elton balloon.
Yeah. And Brando. I'm sure you heard the story that they threw his ashes on different continents, some crap like that. The actors that were pulled into this hooiness, imagine this. These are three pretty A-list actors.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Beatty,
yep.
Jack Nicholson, and Sean Penn.
Strong.
Each of them at different times. Like, I know there was Tahiti was one of the spots.
Right.
Death Valley, I think, was one of the spots. Where you got these big A-ticket celebrities who all had synchronized watches and walkie-talkies.
Well, they were all really tight with Brando. They were good friends of Brando.
3, 2, 1, and... You know who else is good friends with Marlon Brando?
Who?
Michael Jackson. And did you know, this is not even written down, I just know this, that
it's
within...
Turnover Tuesday.
Within the last year, Marlon Brando was on video cameras going into the Neverland Ranch to visit with Michael Jackson quite a few times.
I came by to see it.
Oh, and that radio station KFI in Los Angeles...
That has the pictures.
Right. The picture of the boy on the bed...
Yes, on his stomach.
Yeah. The underpants?
Yeah.
They are pulled back in that up. Yeah,
Michael's bed, according to that radio station.
Correct. Correct.
Marlon, don't eat Mr. Peck.
Mike,
I'll let you go on the merry-go-round.
How many pounds of cheese do Americans eat per year?
Per person.
Per person?
Per person. How many pounds of cheese? How many pounds?
28 pounds of cheese per year.
Buzz.
I'll say 6 pounds.
Mike, you would be closest without going over. Hmm. The average American eats 30 pounds of cheese a year.
Yeah, but 6 pounds, I mean, there's a pound of cheese on a pizza.
So let me see.
Quite a pound.
Almost. It's going up. Our consumption of cheese is going,
about that. I really am.
Our cheese is going.
I'm big on cheese. You can look at me and you can tell that.
I think this room might be a little higher than 30
All right, then hold on. I got a couple of...
I bought a pound just the other day at the deli counter.
Deli counter? You know, did anybody see in the Washington Post magazine while we were on vacation that front page article on that pig Randy Rhodes?
What was she doing in there?
She's on that... Al Franken, Nobody's Listening Radio Network.
Really?
And she got, and they don't have an affiliate in Washington.
Right.
She got a front page picture of Randy Rhodes. I didn't know that she
was.
Well,
they want to sell paper.
I didn't know that she was another, Buzz.
I was being facetious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it showed Randy Rhodes as Randy Rhodes.
Yeah, I was flipping around and caught, because they televised that Al Franken show too.
You can try to shine up a turd, but after a while, a turd is just a turd.
They televised that Al Franken show, and I caught just a little bit of it. I mean, it's, my God. So, talk about something in need of an injection of energy.
Anyway, yeah, jealous. Yes, you bet your ass. Sure. Me and Mike been doing a show for 20 years. Some fat pig who used to do the type of radio that we do decides, like Rush Limbaugh, that she's going to be all of a sudden this liberal talk show host, and it's her big fat face on the cover of the magazine.
Do you know, I'm really serious. I think on certain things we shut our minds down, but I don't think anybody on this show could do an agenda show like that, because there are too many open minds. I mean, really, I think I hate the fact that there's one way that's right and another way that's wrong. I don't believe that.
Deli
counter.
We have that Randy Rhodes tape.
Yes, I'm trying to say.
If you try to find where it is, she's on Air America. And I support that network. That's a network that's, people right-thinking like us.
Well, yeah, it is. And much like the right or the left, I think there's, there are a lot of gray areas.
What you got to know is that she, like Rush Limbaugh, is a disc jockey first, who's picked up this political thing as her crutch. For a while, when we were on in South Florida, we were on the same station as she was.
Right.
And one of our interns, Buzz's intern,
Bob,
yeah, called her up. And anyway, here it is.
I just went through these couple calls here. Calls in Miami.
Hi. My name is Charles Stabilak. And I'm calling from Miami.
That's interesting.
And I just want to tell you that I'm not out for tickets, first of all.
Uh-huh, you're right. That's what was going on. See, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I lull myself into this false sense of security, and I think you people are really with me here.
No, I have something to contribute.
What?
I first wanted to say that you're my favorite DWEJAY. And,
that word.
What's that?
I hate DJ. You know, I've always hated that word.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know, for loss of a better term, I guess.
DJ, because DJ stood for disc jockey.
Yeah.
And you were riding the records. The thing with the CD, disc jockey, well,
I work at a Publix here in Miami, and I saw a story today.
Deli counter?
What's that?
Deli counter?
No,
Deli counter.
They check out.
Anybody that works at the deli counter gets my utmost admiration.
Here's Randy Rhodes in a former life.
Just meats and things.
Drive-y, Lewis, Rich, very thin turkey breast, no sodium, please.
Now, what is this? Bob is crank calling her, right?
Yeah. He's going to play
Speaking
a tape.
Of spare meat, I saw this story about this guy who became a girl, a transsexual, and she married another lesbian. She became a transsexual to marry a lesbian.
I have a friend that's got an interesting situation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think I look like? A jacket?
This is Bob playing a tape.
Don't be your problem! Come on, you
dirt! Randy Rhodes sucks doggy ass, you fat cow!
I think that was it.
Yeah. That's the end of the tape.
That was the end of the tape.
Delicata
is a crank call. Bob Seska would do anything.
Yes, he would.
He would do anything.
He's the one that called Larry King.
That is his all-time greatest when he called Larry King at the restaurant.
What are you enjoying for lunch?
This is Rob Williams Smithson.
It's very urgent.
I need to speak with him. It's urgent.
It's
kind of urgent.
It's very urgent.
He's now a successful animator.
no, he is.
He is.
True.
I know. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny when they go into their other lives.
Yeah. All right, so now some feel-good. Let's see. There's a lady in Bristol Township, PA. She's giving a ride to a teenage boy. What happens is this kid is riding a bike, 16-year-old kid. She hits him with a car.
Ooh.
So, they pull over to the side of the road, and after she hits his bicycle, the kid says to her, well, she says, I'll drive you home.
Right.
The guy says, I won't press any charges if you have sex with me.
The kid says that?
The kid says that.
Oh, my God.
So she has sex with him.
Naturally.
Then the kid steals her purse, gets back on his bike, and rides away.
That's a few.
That is a few. And incidentally, they've not found the boy, but she says the boy appeared intoxicated.
Oh, really?
That may be a...
Perhaps a man boy.
It was definitely a boy because they think that he started, that this is his scheme. He gets hammered, drives out on the road, drives close enough for someone to clip his car.
Wow.
And then,
a boy.
You know, yeah, just a boy. Oh, boy, okay.
Oh, boy.
Just a boy.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tough way to get your jollies.
So, here's another feel-good.
Oh, good.
I know you like me, love Sha-na-na.
Of course. Who doesn't like Bowser?
Well, he's no longer in Sha-na-na.
Is he alive?
What? But still, you got to love...
I think he is.
You sure? Must love Bowser.
I think Bowser might be dead.
Anyway, no, I think he's alive.
Is he?
Mm. I would bet he's alive.
Yeah, Bowser.
So, here's the deal. In Anderson, Indiana, they have a YWCA that is teetering on the edge of bankruptcy.
Right.
They got a YWCA that desperately needs money. They hire Sha-na-na to do a fundraiser. They were going to sell tickets. They did sell tickets for $20 each. They were hoping to sell 2,000 tickets.
Okay.
Guess how many they sold?
3,000. How many?
289.
Oh, no.
No.
That's not good.
So what happens is they paid Sha-na-na, and now the YWCA has gone out of business.
Because they had to use all their money to pay Sha-na-na.
To pay Sha-na-na.
What a tragedy.
And then,
sad.
And then finally...
What a tragedy.
A zookeeper story.
In the morning.
Hello.
Yes.
But not a radio station zookeeper.
In the morning.
A real one?
A real zookeeper.
Okay.
This is in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
At a zoo?
At a zoo. There's a zoo director who was on a ladder. He fell from the ladder while cleaning windows. He was stung 10,000 times by European yellow jackets when he fell onto their nest. This zookeeper
in the morning.
Was unconscious when paramedics arrived. He suffered cardiac arrest.
Oh, dear.
And we sadly say another zookeeper
in the morning.
Bats the dust.
Oh, he didn't make it, huh?
Was he lovable? He was a lovable zoo director, zookeeper.
Bees!
John Bauman.
They're tearing my flesh off.
Oh, hold on. We did IMDb. John Bowser, John Bauman.
Yes.
Mike, he is alive.
He's alive.
He lives.
Good news. Venture a guess on his age?
I don't remember.
57.
57 years old.
57.
Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging out.
Here we go. IMDb. John Bowser Bauman.
Mm-hmm.
Date of birth, 14 September 1947. Sometimes credited as John Bauman, Sha-na-na, Sha-na-na, and... Big, fat, hairy loser.
Na-na-na.
There you go. That's the latest on John Bauman. He's alive.
Yeah, remember Sha-na-na? Remember Sha-na-na had a
TV show.
A television show.
Yeah, and then I remember one time when I was, I think, at some Illinois State Fair. Actually, here was the lineup. And this, when we had Huey Lewis on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't mention to him on the air, but it was at Great America. I smoked some pot with Huey Lewis. This was like in 1980, what was it, Buzz, 83?
85, I think, 84 maybe.
84, right when they were becoming popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I was backstage waiting to interview Huey Lewis, and he was getting high and he was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why are you depressed? And he said, because, man. Sha-na-na is out there.
Oh.
Huey Lewis was the opening act for Sha-na-na.
Oh, back before Huey hit big.
At Marriott's Great America.
That's not dear. Right.
You know who is dead is the fat guy from Sha-na-na.
Oh, that guy? Oh, he was my favorite.
Years of clean living didn't help him.
It was him and then before that, Junior Samples.
And for a long time, wasn't Sha-na-na, didn't they, because it didn't, the chronologically it was Laugh-In, then it was Hee-Haw, and Sha Na Na was kind of a rip-off their TV show of Laugh-In and Hee-Haw.
Yeah. Yep. And
it syndicated.
And it followed, they were at the very forefront of the 50s retro period.
Mm-hmm. They played Woodstock, and they also were in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now that I'm thinking about Hee-Haw, gosh, I miss the Hager twins.
Oh, the Hagers were fantastic with that great hair.
The Hager twins.
The Hagers.
So musical.
We got to bring, oh, listen, the Trip to Mexico.
Yeah.
Here we go. Cabo Wabo. I pressed the button. I'm not getting anything out of that machine. There you go. Slam it on the ground.
Perfect.
And it starts.
Bravo.
Well, I think you know what this music means.
Bravo.
It's time to make, in this case, my man Joe.
Hey! Joe.
The world's oldest phone screener. Upset about his employee evaluation.
He is not happy at all.
So it's a real challenge today, ladies and gentlemen, and in-betweens. Can you make Erdinger laugh?
Ooh. Not Don, not Mike, not Buzz, not Rob. You have to make Joe Erdinger laugh today.
You got to remember that. Hey, Buzz is actually toweling off. What are you doing over there?
I'm toweling off. I let it get a little too warm.
Did you see him actually wipe his brow?
Are you feverish, Buzz? No, I'm fine. I just are you all right? No, I'm just a little too warm in the news booth. I'll fix that.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Now, remember, we got this whole clean FCC thing going. So, no dirty stuff.
Right.
You call, we take the unscreened live calls. We'll start with 10 minutes on the clock. If you make Joe laugh,
sure,
you win the trip.
I think it's quite a challenge.
To party with Sam Hagar. Be careful. Don't get any lotion in your eye, Buzz.
No.
Remember what happened the last time you got some lotion in your ear, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that like when you had pink eye?
No. That was just a separate incident.
Well, you had conjunctivitis one time.
I did, as a matter of fact. Picked it up in Kansas.
And you did get lotion in your eyes one time.
Yes, I did. I did remember. I did the news blind one day.
You were using some sort of cosmetic that didn't agree with you.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All of that will change. And what's the name of that town you're going to take over? That
Big Water. Big Water, Utah.
Big Water, Utah.
All right, folks. Make Joe laugh.
Mayor Willie.
877-365-3636.
Hello.
Make Joe laugh and win the trip to party with Sammy Hagar at the Cabo Wabo Meltdown.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If you believe in me, then I'm not going to give up. I'll prove I'm right. This Friday, we're going back to the woods and we're going to find that alien.
What if we don't?
We'll fake it and sell it to the Fox Network.
They'll buy anything.
Now, son, they do a lot of quality programming, too. Kill me.
The Don and Mike Show. Noted Chubby Chasers, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Direct him on to call right now for Make Joe Laugh. We got Bill Ranzik before the end of the show today, the guy that won The First Apprentice.
Yeah, find out what, now that he's in, now the TV show's over, what it's like to be inside the whole Trump empire.
Right, right. Tomorrow, we pick the pros so they scab and bleed with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. That's brought to you by Tower Records. Please watch Rich and his show NFL Total Access tonight at 7. If you have DirecTV, that's channel 212. Here is Erdinger.
Erdinger here.
Erdinger here.
That's Terry Joe Erdinger.
This is Erdinger.
Erdinger locus here.
Locus and Erdinger.
The legendary Joe Erdinger.
It's my favorite Joe is when he was looking for the locus.
Yes.
My favorite Joe is in the 2 to 3 hour on WJFK.
I'm the host.
When Joe freelances a bit, and I find myself getting caught up in something that really pisses me off when people do it to us. And I understand the fascination. I like standing at the window and watching.
I see you, too.
And watching Joe.
And it makes me nervous.
Do his show. Sure. Only because it's Joe relaxed, like today.
Right, yeah.
I tried, so you don't see me staring at you, but I see the Stones hat on.
Sure.
I see
the body language, mm-hmm. the arm just kind of like squiggly, like macaroni down on the
this
side.
This is Ardinger.
This is Ardinger. We got a good show today. I see, and I see you picking up the prompts.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
But that's what makes it fun.
Got some prizes to give away today. Ardinger here.
I feel really official when I pick up my sheet and start reading from it.
There you go. And Joe, for those of you that don't know, here in Washington for our little best of segment and around the country in many places, Joe does the little best of show.
I feel creative when I do that.
Nice. Tomorrow we're going to talk about that evaluation.
Yes.
Because I know you're mad about that, too, that you got.
Now, was the creative part the only part that was bad for you, or were there other elements?
Well, without getting too far into it, let's put it this way. Cameron comes rushing in at the end of the show last night and says, I got to go somewhere. I don't have time to meet with you. Sign this.
Now, this is the program director who's giving him his employee evaluation.
Mm-hmm. And he throws down the evaluation, and I said, I'd like to look it over.
Have you thought about talking to Todd? I still love the fact that Michael Hughes is a real person.
You know that's
Todd.
Killing him.
As I understand the
Todd,
the future of my pay increase, also known as, well, a pay increase, is in the hands of him right now.
Of Todd?
Yeah.
All right, we'll discuss this tomorrow.
Yeah, very good.
Let's wait and see how things pan out.
All right, maybe we'll get you together with Todd tomorrow. We can talk about your evaluation.
Good.
Because I know that, on a creativity scale.
0 to 5.
0 to 5.
Oh, Joe's a 5.
You're at least, what did you get?
A 2.
Yeah, you're at least a 2. I would, I'm sorry.
Well, no, he's a 5, Don. We got to back him up.
Even if we don't really feel it.
he's
That's right. We're a team.
We're a team. Rob, a good solid 4?
A solid 4.
No.
I think I got a 4 last year. That's the thing.
See, that's the thing. And you're every bit as creative as you were last year.
Well, more so, I'd say.
You know, Joe is creative. Joe has ideas.
He does. He contributes.
He does. Joe, my ideas are a little more esoteric than most people.
True.
Think.
You gave me an idea that we used on the radio. I don't remember what it was, but I know we used it.
I gave you the Americans as your team name.
See?
As an example.
He's creative.
I went, and not to split hairs,
right?
When I was on the website looking at our fantasy football.
Yeah.
The way your name, your team's name is
spelled wrong.
Oh, Americans.
O. Americans is
O-M-E-R-I.
No, they have it written O-apostrophe Americans.
I think that's a commissioner issue.
Oh, it is?
It's the O-American.
See, I haven't been on the website.
You should. It's
stop by.
Should check it out.
I don't remember my password.
How about 0-16?
Hey, I won.
Yeah, he beat me last week.
So I can't be 0-16. Thank you very much.
Okay. I could be 0-16 at this point.
Well, you could if you keep Brunel as your starting quarterback.
And incidentally, I believe, 2-0 does not a season make, okay?
Yeah. Listen,
don't get happy.
I can't help it, Mike. You know me. I'm a bad loser and I'm a worse winner. That's why I'm the worst guy to have on your fantasy league.
The only way to be, though.
Because when I win, I love screaming about it, and when I lose, I'm so pissed.
Well, I noticed that I knew that you had a great record as soon as John Norman was coming in, scheduled to come in with the update of the fantasy
league. Oh,
I knew that you were...
Let me say, to be fair,
right.
That last year, I did the same thing even after I quit the league last year with the crooked commissioner. I still had John or somebody come in and tell us who did what in the fantasy league.
Occasionally we would have somebody come in.
You want to make... I
don't care now. I don't care. I didn't care then. I don't care. It's just you. When you are winning,
listen. I make you this promise now. Even if I tank the rest of the way,
you're feeling good about your team, aren't you?
We will have. Well, yeah, but that's not the point. Even if my team tanks,
right?
Every week we'll at least have a mention of it. And, another reason is...
Nobody's helping me with this website dilemma that I have, and I want to participate, and I want to pay attention.
We just mentioned Don and Mike website.
I haven't asked you. Rob will help me. All right.
Don and Mike website.com, if I could just plug our real official website, which will be starting soon.
Yes.
That will have the fantasy stuff there.
Very good.
As well, you can click there. So that's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, I'm 1-1.
As am I.
You were making an 0-16 joke about me, and I'm 1-1.
I know.
Or I should say J. Dubs is 1-1.
Yeah, speaking of tars.
I couldn't even tell you who's on my team right now.
Charlie Rogers.
I don't remember.
He got hurt.
Chad Pennington.
Chad Pennington.
You know what, actually, Mike? You're 1-0.
J-Dubs is 0-1.
Thank you, Rob. I wish you could join the organization.
Someday.
Well, and I think last year, as I recall, yes, we did talk about it because we talked about how great Buzz did all the time.
Yeah, we did. We did talk about it. Yes. Well, last year was just a crazy year.
It was crazy. And I just can't help it that my team is so scary good this
year. Now, your
year.
Two victories, have your victories been overwhelming victories, or have you...
No, they've been squeakers.
What's that?
By 3 points this week.
Really? Did he beat you? He beat you.
3 whole points. That's right, dummy. 3 whole points.
That's right.
3 whole points.
That's it.
That's all it took. That's all it took.
Safety and a half.
Big ones, little ones, it don't matter. What's your record?
Mine, I'm at 500 ball right now.
Yeah, I would
you're
be
one
at
one.
I would be at 1,000 ball right now.
Buzz, what's your record?
I'm 1-1 as well.
And Joe, you're 0-2?
Yes.
Hold on, who is on the hotline? Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Mike, anytime you want to come by and take a look at your lineup and do anything on the website, you just come in and see me on the way into the show.
All right. I just want to be able to do it from my house, John. I'm going to figure out how to do that.
All right. Well, we'll get it figured out. We'll get your
because it seems to me that because I have forgotten this password, I am now unable to... Nobody can help me.
Yes, what you're going to be able to do is John, as commissioner, will let you in, and then you can have your password emailed to you.
Okay.
Then you'll be able to do it from
home. Isn't there already some kind of a system? If you forget your password, they say if you forgot it, a little window pops up and it'll send it to you.
All right.
And because you've signed on already at least once this year, right?
Yeah. I haven't just forgotten my password. I've forgotten my ID.
Oh, you mean your name?
The username, yeah.
Oh.
Because it was something different when I did it last time.
Huh. Was it?
I'm really screwed on this.
Yeah, you
it's
are.
Fixable though. See what I mean? I
yeah,
am.
You
I
are. Hope.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you are 1-15.
Oh, you wait. I'm going to win this thing.
You wait. No, you're
no,
not.
I'm going to win.
You know what
thing.
That is? That's
no,
renewed
not.
Urgency. There's heart there.
I'm going to win this thing.
No, you're not, Tex.
I listen to it.
And I, hey, just for the record. Just like you're not going to win the Red Sox.
Football. I wanted to mention that, you know. I'm not saying die on that either.
Hey, I'm not worried about a big series this weekend.
Huge series. It's the definitive series.
In Boston, as it stands right now.
We might have an answer on Monday coming back. I might be ready to make that concession on Monday.
In Arlington, O'Mara.
Or... You know, depending on what happens the rest of this week, I might very well be ready to come in and say it's going to go right down to the wire.
Right now, it is a 6-game lead because I'm adding on the 2 games.
Or is it, or 5.5.
5.5 because they're a half game late in the paper.
5.5, right.
5.5 games between the Yankees and the Red Sox in our bet.
You know, it's going to be a killer. What will be a real killer is if they win the division and they win it by like a half a game.
And you know, that's very likely.
That is very, well, I mean, you know what? If they're going to do that, that's probably what it's going
to because
if they have any chance at all of winning the division, they're going to do it by like a half a game.
Because here's the thing. When you made the bet, whenever it was in February or March, you said boldly, because it was one of those days, there was a good article about the Red Sox in
right.
the paper.
Right.
You said, they will win the AL East by 2 games.
By 2 games.
Ow!
Mm-hmm.
Killer move.
I know. We'll see what happens. I mean, there is still a reasonable amount of baseball left to play.
And don't forget, the loser has to give Tom Gavin a full body massage.
Mm-hmm.
Tom will be nude on a masseuse chair.
But I will not be going near his scar.
Here in the studio.
I will work around his wound.
You wouldn't want to rip it open.
No.
No, you wouldn't.
Thanks. That just makes me really want to barf.
Take out all the pus.
We've got oozing.
That makes me want to barf right now.
The blood.
You know, I was fine. Really. I had psyched myself up. Because, you know, the odds are, if we were playing Texas Hold'em right now, you would be at like 75% right now.
Oh, right. If it was like the World Series of Poker,
you would be at 75%. You know, but I'm still waiting for the turn and the river card. But I'm really, when someone brought up the other day the wound, Tom's wound. That is what's disturbing to me.
It's only because Tom Gavin, I should mention this as well, Tom Gavin has recently had hip replacement surgery.
Have we heard from him since the surgery?
Yeah, I hope he was in the hospital the other day when he called.
He was woozy.
That's right. I think he should call in.
Remember I asked him if he was high on goofballs? He said, no.
Thank you, Rob. You think Tom should call in?
I do. You want to be careful because those stitches, they can be pointy.
Jesus. See, that's what I picture, like this horrible gaping wound with nylon black thread coming out of it.
I was talking to a buddy of mine about this bet.
Ooh.
And saying that really I don't have any bad feelings towards the Red Sox.
Right.
It's just a thing that I have with you. That I think the way that it'll play out is that, who knows, this might be the Red Sox year.
Yeah.
That they probably won't win the division.
Yeah.
They probably will make the playoffs as a wild card.
Uh-huh.
They might even go to the World Series. Who knows, they might win the World Series,
And it'll be forever tainted.
Because
you still would have won. That would be the miracle of miracles.
But that's what you called several months ago, is that even if they win, they can still win and break your heart.
Yes.
And that would be really typical of the organization.
Yes, they can. So, but the whole thing about Tom's wound, I can't get by. Tom stitches in his weeping wound. You know, which really probably hasn't been tended to properly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of course not.
I'm sure they're going to look at it in terms of an outpatient procedure. It'll be fine.
Yeah. He's probably out of the hospital.
Every color of the rainbow.
And that, what color do you think the first initial crust is that's growing over?
A rich gold? You ever eat the cereal Golden Grahams?
Sure.
Looks a lot like that.
This bet, really, even as horrible as it was, this bet was fine for me. I had psyched myself into it until
naked, sweaty Tom.
The hip replacement surgery.
And don't forget
the fact that there's going to be like a Frankenstein scar on his buttock.
Feet are included in
that's
this
right,
bet.
Feet and glutes.
And that's something that you came with a long time ago.
But I will not touch the wound.
No, you shouldn't touch the wound.
In fact, really, if it is on his one glute, I will work on the other glute.
For if I think they you go were in. To touch the wound, it would look like Golden Grahams with milk.
I think they go in from the front. Right?
Or with strawberries after they've been in the milk for a while to turn the color red. How you doing?
And then I'm not doing well.
Milk gets sort of brownish.
How about that?
I'm feeling a woozy.
How about that?
Oh, the weeping wound of Tom.
How about that?
Oh my God.
Okay, now listen, we got to do a break.
Really?
Yes.
Huh?
I apologize to everyone calling.
I have to go out and stick a feather down my throat.
We are standing by to play Make Joe Laugh.
Yes.
Joe, having said everything we've just said, and incidentally, I was talking about the 20 years Mike and I have been doing this show now.
Right. Yes.
You have the longest streak as a continuous full-time phone screener. Only because before you, they were all temps.
How about that?
Did he say how about
he
that?
Did. He did, yes.
Before you, Joe, they were all just, they were temps.
Hello!
You gotta get points for that.
And now you've turned it into a full-time position. So having said all of
he's
that...
He's really impressed, isn't he?
Quite a ride.
So you're not happy with your employee evaluation.
Right.
Your fantasy team is not doing really great. But overall...
Well, there's hope for the fantasy team.
But overall, look at this. You still have kind of an optimistic attitude. Are you ready to laugh today on Make Joe Laugh?
I am ready to laugh. And I'm ready for everybody who always calls me with their jokes to call in next segment and go for it.
Great solicit, Joe.
All right, Ardinger. Wait, listen, do like you do during the local 2 o'clock hour. Why don't you just take us to break? Go ahead. You know, do the whole thing where you say, Ardinger here. I mean, do you need music?
You're confusing him.
Can you do a drive?
You're giving him instructions.
Don Mike Show, and we're going to break.
Thank you, Tom. And who are you?
I'm Wound Boy.
Just say your thing. Say Ardinger here. I love it when you say that.
Ardinger here, the legendary Joe Ardinger. Don Mike Show will be right back after these messages.
That's what I love.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Mike and New York City?
Oh, boy.
If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right, Don and Mike?
I think that's where they originated from, yeah.
Yeah. Las Vegas, hello.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Great.
Charmingly ghetto. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Well, let me make one quick inside the building call, and then we get right to Make Joe Laugh.
Yay.
Hope she's still here. Am I cross my fingers? J-Law, are you here? And no, she's gone for the day. You know, there are two ladies that work at the back of this building. We've had them on the show before. One day, I think we brought them wine and cheese.
Yes, a wine and cheese party.
Their names are Joan and Robbie. And everybody around here craps on them. I mean, all the salespeople crap on them.
Right.
The programming people crap on them. They have the job that nobody wants.
Oh, wait a minute. Ray. Is that
one of the victims now?
Joan, come here for a second.
J-La.
Here's J-La. Just give me one second, because I understand that something's happening tomorrow, and perhaps We don't like doing nice stuff for people because it gives us the bad rap.
Yeah, this is true. We get, you know, we have a reputation to uphold, so we can't do nice things.
But recently, hey, J-Law.
Hello.
Hi. Recently, how long ago was it we got you and Robbie Wine and Cheese? It was a couple months ago?
Oh, no, not that long ago.
A month.
Anyway, I heard tomorrow's your birthday?
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Tomorrow is J-Law's birthday.
Bravo, J-Law.
J-Law, pleased to be joining us in the studio at 3 o'clock tomorrow. And it's not like the old show, so there's no strippers or nothing. We just got a gift for you.
Well, thank you.
There you go.
I'd be very happy and honored to
make
be
sure you report to the studio tomorrow.
3 o'clock.
We can't wait
we'll
to see
you then.
All right.
Bye, J-Law.
Bingo.
Cool.
And really, seriously, and this is off here, that is how she is greeted whenever she walks into the studio.
We scream her name, yes. J-Law.
Yes. Yeah. You and Rob particularly, you scream it very, very loudly.
Love it. All right, Joden, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Robbie, give me 10 minutes on the clock.
10 minutes on the big board.
Ladies and gentlemen, 877-365-3636. You are playing for a trip to Mexico to Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo Meltdown.
All right.
Friday, October 8th through Sunday, October 10th. Round trip air, ground transportation. You stay at the beautiful Hotel Hacienda. Tickets to see Sammy on Friday and Saturday night. And invites to Sammy's recovery party on Sunday.
Amen.
All you got to do is make Joe Ardinger, world's oldest phone screener, laugh. Joe, plugged in. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's start the clock with the first call at 877-365-3636. Unscreened as always. Hello, make Joe laugh.
Hey, Joe.
Yes?
This is JP. Hey, look, since you got such a hard thing review, I'd love to get...
Joe, you give me the thumbs down on that?
Joe, you gave him a thumbs down. Why'd you do that?
Nobody named JP can make me laugh.
Hello.
Don, I get that.
Don and Mike show.
That was creative.
Joe, what black and fits on top of the stairs? Christopher Reeve after a fire.
Now, that is a former winning joke.
Yeah, and you didn't even tell it right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you punched it.
Miss Archer.
Yes.
There's three guys stuck on an island. They haven't ate for a couple weeks. The one guy can't take it anymore. He decides to slice his wrist. The other two guys argue about it for a few hours. Finally decide to eat him. One guy goes, all right, I'm going to start at the top. You start at the bottom. They're staring at each other. They go to it. After about 20 minutes, the guy at the top looks over and goes, so, how's it going over there? The other guy looks back. I'm having a ball. Hey, man, you're eating too fast. Slow down.
If I could just tell everybody. First, that stinks, of course.
I'm sorry.
Well, you tried. And, you know, you don't need to apologize if you try.
And the problem is, yeah, that we were getting, like, we need the Cliff Notes version of these jokes.
Yes, absolutely.
Just, you know, two guys walk into a bar. We know that. We don't need the three setup steps before you get to the funny
After
part.
After that,
yeah,
our minds
quick,
wander. Like Baby Seal walks into a club.
If in fact, there is a funny part. Hello, make Joe laugh.
Blind man and his seeing eye dog walking down the street. Come to a busy intersection. Dog stops. Dog takes off, walks the man right into a passing car. Man gets up, brushes himself off, and the observer sees this. He says, are you all right? He says, yeah, I'm fine. The blind man reaches into his pocket, pulls out a doggy treat. He said, you going to give that dog a treat after walking in the car? He said, no. I'm going to kick his ass. Got to figure out which end's which.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Death will never come quickly enough for some of our callers. Some of these people will go on and live, 10, 20 more years.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Joe laugh.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Hello?
I got a question for Joe. I was just wondering if he's curious.
Are you curious about this? What?
Again, I think he's trying to, like, set up a Larry King thing. Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Joe laugh.
Hello, this is Lee.
Hello.
See you, Lee.
Oh, come on, Joe. Give him a chance. Lee?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on. Yeah, Joe, I was at a craft piece, and my grandfather was carrying a hearing aid.
Hold on just a second. You were in a what?
I was at a craft feast.
A crab feast.
Crab feast. And my grandfather was bragging about his new hearing aid, and he's one of the cheapest people you ever want to meet. Spent $10,000 for it. He was bragging about all it could do and everything. And so I asked him what kind it was, and he said, about 430.
Wow. you know, a pox.
Now, we don't need to be hard. They're trying.
That'll be fine at Thanksgiving.
But still, Mike.
You can wish them death, but just do so, you know.
And I've tried to tone that down. Just a pox on it.
Right, a pox on their house.
A pox.
Nice.
Oh, I get it. What kind is it?
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike show. Make Joe laugh.
Joe, why does an elephant have 4 feet?
I don't know.
Because 6 inches ain't long enough.
See, that's not even funny, but I'll tell you what I love about it. The guy was quick, yeah. And he was to the point.
Could everybody just put away the Playboy joke page? Because
no.
I have already read it.
Yeah, Joe, you got to just keep an open mind.
Make Joe laugh, Don and Mike show.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
What?
What is both America's favorite beer and Buzz's favorite brand of cigarette lighter?
What?
Bud Light. Hello.
God, you're killing us with this today.
You know, keep me out of it.
You're killing us with this.
I give him a two.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Hi there. Make Joe laugh.
Oh,
please.
Lovely
hello.
Lady.
Hi there.
Uh-huh. What do you call a Jewish homosexual?
I made me and Mike laugh. Yeah, made Joe laugh.
I've heard
Joe.
That.
Thank
Joe's
you.
Heard it. See, that's the key. Uh-huh. We haven't heard it.
Yeah. Rob, you haven't heard it either?
No.
Three out
what
of four.
What are you talking about, Rob? You told it to me.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. Make Joe laugh.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi. Little old lady walks into the pharmacy and says to her pharmacist, I'd like to spice up our sex life with my husband. Does that Viagra work? He says, yes, ma'am, it sure does work, and it's safe. She says, well, can you get it over the counter? He says, well, only if I take two.
Okay, hi there. Make Joe laugh.
Yeah, another one from the Playboy.
Okay. Make Joe laugh. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
A horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, why the long face?
But again, she was quick.
What was that?
I was laughing at how ridiculously lame that
was. Oh, be careful.
Oh, you didn't laugh at that.
Be careful, Joe, because we'll take your laughter as a victory.
Hello, okay. Don and Mike show. Make Joe laugh.
Yeah, a guy walks into the psychiatrist's office wearing nothing but saran wrap. Says, Doc, can you help me? Well, I can clearly see your nuts.
Okay, hi, Don and Mike show. Joe, that didn't almost make you laugh, did it? Hi.
You know, every now and then you'll hear a little snort or something, and you're wondering who got sucked in by that.
Hello, make Joe laugh.
Joe Eisinger, what's funnier? The Redskins think they're going to beat the Cowboys on Monday night, or you getting a two on your review?
Again, now he's working his magic with me and Mike.
Yeah,
it's Richard Simmons checking in.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show. Please make Joe laugh.
Joe.
Yes.
What do you get when you cross Raggedy Ann with the Pillsbury Doughboy?
I don't know.
An ugly redhead with a yeast infection.
He didn't like it.
He shrugged.
Okay. Right now, I think we're just kind of smiling quietly.
I think we've moved from Playboy to, like, highlights.
Okay, they're getting better. Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Joe laugh.
Keep an open mind, Joe.
Hi, I think I can do it.
Go ahead.
Go for it. He's right here.
All right. Joe, I went to high school with a girl.
Hold on a second. Wait. Hold on. What is the noise in the background?
My car, because I'm getting ready to go to work.
So it's like your door open or something?
Yes, I'm supposed to sign in 2 minutes. I work for an airline. They're real picky.
You're not going to succeed with that sound.
It does nothing but enhance your delivery, darling.
Yeah, we wouldn't want the airlines to be too picky now.
Why don't you just shut the door and then give it your best try.
I graduated in 1983 from Bowie High School in Maryland. I went to school with a girl. Her name, first name was Polly. Her middle name was Esther. Polly Esther. She was named after a synthetic. True story. Her last name, to kick it all off, McGugan. Polly Esther McGugan. That's got to make you laugh. And she was short and squatty.
I don't get it. Polyester McDougan?
I don't get it.
Polyester?
Polyester was her real name. But
I get that, but...
You better go go take care of that airline.
I went to school with a guy named Stu. His name was Stu Pithorse.
Oh.
Good day,
Joe. Don't you think that's cool they named her Polyester?
Yeah, that is really better cool. Move on. Eject.
Bye-bye. See you. See you later.
Polyester.
You'll be a good waitress now.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Joe laugh.
Hello.
Hi, make Joe laugh.
Hello.
Please.
All right. I got your Joe.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
People are such idiots, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, rich old lady goes to a plastic surgeon, says that she wants a facelift. The doctor says, okay, we got a new procedure. We put a knob on the back of your head, you crank it down once a year, tightens up your face. She says, okay. 15 years later, she goes back. He says, are you happy? She says, it's been great, but I got these bags under my eyes.
He says, ma'am, I'm sorry, but those are your breasts. She said, well, that explains the goatee.
All right, we are now to the two-minute mark.
2 minutes.
Two-minute warning.
Two minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Two minutes.
Sudden death. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Joe laugh.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, I knew Polly McGugan. She was a fat whore. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
You may love your wrong time.
All right, get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Joe laugh.
Hey, Joe, what's Helen Keller's favorite George Harrison song?
I don't know.
Wah-wah! I don't get it. What song are you attempting?
Wah-wah.
Did George Harrison have a song called Wah-wah or Wah?
Well, that joke worked when it was the convenience store.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Joe laugh. Hello.
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 Make Joe laugh.
What's brown and sticky?
I don't know.
A stick.
Oh, no.
That made me laugh. I'm Mike.
Oh, my God.
That's brown.
We've had that one before.
I've never heard
Yeah, we have had that one.
I was going to say his underpants.
Don and Mike Show.
All right.
Hello. Look, they hit you with a stick, Joe.
Yeah, really.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Maybe I'll laugh.
Hello.
Hey.
Make Joe laugh.
I had some back problems, so I went to the doctor the other day, and it was the best thing to do is sit like an Indian. So I grabbed a bottle of whiskey and lay down in the gutter.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Please make Joe laugh. Hello?
Yeah, Calvin, hello. Calvin's at a bar. He's watching the 6 o'clock news. A blonde walks up. There's a guy standing on a building ready to jump. The guy says, I'll bet you $20 he's going to jump. The girl says, I'll take that bet. He jumps and kills himself. The guy says, I can't take your money. I watched the 5 o'clock news. He was going to jump. The blonde says, yeah, I did too, but I was hoping he wouldn't do it again.
Oh, a pox on everybody you come in contact with. Hello, the last 10 seconds make Joe laugh.
Okay.
Oh, your radio's on too loud. Hello, Don and Mike. Make Joe laugh.
Hey, Joe.
Hi.
No, we can't.
Yeah, we can't do that one. All right, you get a free one now because that guy said something that was dirty.
That's right.
So we get one free one here because time has officially run out on this. Hello, Don and Mike. Go ahead. Make Joe laugh.
Sky High Airlines.
What?
Make Joe laugh.
Well, now, turn your radio down. Come on now. What are you doing?
Sky High Airlines.
You're not funny. You're not funny.
What is the... I don't get it.
Explain.
It's an old commercial. It's like Alaskan Airlines, the original commercial from like the late 80s. It was hilarious.
Where are you calling from?
It was hilarious, Don.
Where?
San Francisco.
Okay, hello, Don and Mike. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that works out there. Yeah. Hello. Make Joe laugh.
What do you call your sister's Asian daughter?
I don't know.
Japanese. Jerry Todd.
Japanese.
That guy, if he had slowed down, may have made it work.
Uh-huh.
Japanese.
Asian sister's daughter.
Okay, yeah. Maybe.
Japanese.
Maybe. It was very creative.
Maybe.
It was. He would have gotten a 4.
Hello.
Maybe a 2.
Don and Mike, we're out of time. Make Joe laugh.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
What's ET short for?
I don't know.
The joke doesn't work unless you say extraterrestrial.
Well, what if Joe had said extraterrestrial?
Okay, well, then you say, no, he's just got little legs.
Then you say what?
Then you say, no, he's just got little legs.
So it's really not funny at all.
I know, my mom's a whore.
Oh, my God.
Hello. God, you people are awful.
It's not funny whether I say extraterrestrial or not.
Yeah, but it's moved into the bad it's good thing.
Hello, make Joe laugh.
Joe! I just shot my mother-in-law. There you are!
Wow. Joe is just smiling. It's not going to work, sir.
Oh, crap.
I hope you really didn't shoot your mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's too far to go for a prize.
I love Don and Mike's show.
It
depends on the prize.
It does.
Hello, make Joe laugh.
Hey, I went to the sperm bank today to make a deposit, and the lady at the front counter cheesed me out, so I withdrew everything and closed my account.
Don and Mike's show made Joe laugh.
What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
I don't know.
Stick.
A stick.
Right, a stick, right.
Yeah, okay. Old one.
You would have had me with the what's brown and sticky. A stick.
Second joke of the day.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, guy goes out, picks up a girl, takes her back to his place, bangs her. Afterwards, they're sitting there, and the girl says,
hey, word around town is you're a pedophile. The guy says, pedophile? Pedophile? That's an awful big word for a nine-year-old.
That's an old one. We've had that before.
Don and Mike show. Now we're really down to the last buzz.
No, I know. I was scratching.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe.
You are scratching or wiping always today, Buzz. Yeah. Hello. I mean, wiping the
scratching
sweat.
Scratching or wiping.
Your, wiping the sweat from your brow.
Scratching and wiping.
Hey.
That made Joe laugh.
Okay. Hey, you're going to the concert.
I will. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, make Joe laugh.
Hey, Joe, what do you call a car full of blondes in a Volkswagen?
I don't know.
Far from thinking.
What?
Far from thinking.
And it's always great when the cell phone craps out.
All right, now, Robbie, I need a timpani because we have just one more call.
That was far from funny.
Listen, we can't go two breaks with this today. We can bring it back tomorrow or try to give away this trip tomorrow.
A long or a short timpani?
A short timpani. Because we've got the guy with the apprentice standing by. So there will be one more person who has the chance to make Joe laugh. And it's right here. It's you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Last hope.
Hi, hey. A Jewish child molester. Hey, little girl, want to buy some candy?
Okay, so we'll do this tomorrow or another time.
Yes, it didn't work today, and it was a poor effort, really.
Yeah. Didn't work
today. There weren't even any borderlines, were there, Joe?
No.
No, like none.
I like the stick joke.
The stick joke? What's brown and sticky?
What's brown and sticky?
A stick?
I like that one.
That's been done before. A lot of them came from the Playboy joke page.
Right.
A lot of them were repeats of that you had before. I mean, come on.
I'm with you, Joe. I don't think you had anyone that were worthy.
No winner.
All right, let's do one more wild card.
Good.
On the Canadian line.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Make Joe laugh.
I will make Joe laugh. What Star Wars character likes to take men from behind?
I don't know.
Oh, no, he's doing the groaner.
Yeah. Oh, it's different.
Dude, hold on.
You guys are easy, man.
Yeah. That made us laugh.
I know.
Yeah. It's a Duke joke.
Because we were expecting Kobe won.
Right.
Right, because we had the Kobe won.
Duke.
Right.
Duke's
Kobe
won.
That
made
if
us
you were
laugh.
Playing...
That might win if we were playing.
I will say this. Of all the jokes we had, I've been an easy mark today. So have you. Yeah. Even Buzz has.
Yes.
I think we've all, even though all of these jokes have sucked universally,
there have been pockets of humor.
Yeah.
That was one that really got us all, though. I enjoyed Duke Skywalker.
It wasn't funny. It was just unexpected.
And it was also the delivery. Even though the delivery was poor, and that is the key, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unexpected nature
Duke
of these
Skywalker.
Jokes.
Listen, you're still a big loser, though. Thank you.
Well, thank
all
you.
Right.
Get a proud loser.
Get bent and pound sand, and that means we'll give away the trip at a future day.
And because Joe screens phones, he gets more of these jokes than any of us, so he is going to be a tougher audience.
But people make me laugh.
Okay, good.
Back good. Back there.
Very good.
Back there. Okay.
I have a groaner.
All right, go ahead, Joe. How about this? If your groaner makes us laugh, we'll give you the trip.
I don't think you can do that because I'm an employee at the company.
Not eligible, really.
Well,
wouldn't that be great if we could give him a trip?
It's a groaner. You're not supposed to laugh.
Wouldn't he be the perfect guy for that vacation?
Yes.
Yeah, but it might kill him.
Yeah, never mind. What's your groaner?
Can you name the Mexican Star Wars hero?
Who?
Obi-Wan Kenobi Hernandez.
All right, why don't you go back to your room?
I swear to God, you're retarded.
That made me laugh. You made himself laugh.
You are more retarded than the callers.
That did not make me laugh.
You are more retarded than the people that were just calling
to
make you laugh.
It's time for you.
Right, get it? No.
We had it already. It's a hitter. It makes me want to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that we had...
That would make me laugh.
...didn't have Hernandez on the end of it.
What about the Irish guy from Star Wars? Obi-Wan Kenobi Murphy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, there's nothing.
No,
it
doesn't
that's
work.
The one-handed guy on Star Wars.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, see, boy. Now isn't that stick joke sounding a lot better?
It sure does, John. Yeah.
Sure does.
There's just no mirth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
there's no mirth.
But we come back.
Jesus, he stayed in here too long.
I don't know.
Yeah, I see fish.
No, not only a two, a Roman numeral two.
Hello. When we come back, and listen, no more with this contest today.
Not today. Okay. No, can't do. Stop and call. Yes.
When we please stop calling. Mm. When we come back, Bill Rancic, the apprentice.
He's the Don and Mike show.
The first guy.
Oh, that LBO stuff's way over my head, Henry. I just can't follow it.
You don't have to. Bankers and lawyers work it all out.
Well, all I want from bankers is a new calendar every year, and all I care about lawyers is they're back in their coffins before the sun comes up.
We pay off the debt incurred in buying the company with cash from its ongoing operation, and by selling off pieces of the business.
That's French for buying people, isn't it, Henry?
As few as possible, of course. The Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
More entertaining than a litter of acrobats. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, no winner yet for the Cabo Wabo trip with Sammy Hagar.
Not that people didn't try.
I don't know if we'll do it again tomorrow. Beth Ann was just telling me, everybody's calling saying, that was like the best Make Joe Laugh ever.
What show are you listening to?
What? And very upset people are.
Really?
Talking like Yoda. Very upset people are because we're not continuing it for another break. Because there have been shows where we've gone 3 or 4 breaks in a row with Make Somebody Laugh.
Well, tomorrow's a busy day on the show, but maybe you have to give some thought to bringing it back for one more.
I don't know. Well, all I know is that right now it's Lighthouse.
One fine morning, girl, I'll wake up.
All I know is that Bill Rancic is on the phone, and I want to talk to
the real apprentice, the guy that won.
Yes. This is the guy that won, and I should mention The Apprentice is on tonight, 9, 8 Eastern on NBC. Hey, Bill.
Don and Mike, how are you?
How are you? Thanks for joining us. Now, Bill is the guy.
You're the guy. I mean, you've been doing it. You've been living this thing, right?
He's the real
I have been. Can you believe it? It's been a whirlwind, that's for certain.
The real enchilada. So, you won the job. Tell us, in the time since you were on The Apprentice, exactly what is an average day for you like now that Donald Trump gave you the job?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's a lot of learning. We're talking about building a 90-story high-rise here. It's a superstructure. So it's something I've never done, and I'm not going to claim that I have. I don't know too many people who have done it. But I've been spending a lot of time learning from experts. And I spent probably half my week with a guy named Greg Cuneo, and he's the chairman of a company called HRH Construction, which is one of the biggest construction companies on the East Coast.
I bet a bunch of people, myself included, want to know. When I watch that, I wonder, now, are you just, and don't take offense at this, are you like a puppet government? I mean, do you really have responsibilities? If you really screwed up this job, would you get fired? Or are you just there as window? I mean...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's more, I mean, listen, the name of the show is called The Apprentice. You know, it's not called The Expert, so... Am I there learning? Am I contributing? Do I have responsibility? Without a doubt.
I guess what I'm wondering is, do you have the pressure, even though you won the contest to be The Apprentice, do you have the pressure that if you don't do the work, that you'll get canned?
Well, I mean, that's sure. That always lingers in the back of your mind. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, he's Donald Trump. So, is that going to happen? No, I think I put the pressure on myself because that's how I operate, and that's why I think I was successful on the show because I operate at a very intense level, and I'm my own worst critic. I don't need anyone else.
Well, I'm fascinated.
Sitting there, criticizing me.
Bill, I'm fascinated because the cameras go off. You get the gig. You're in the system now, and I got a million questions for you. The first one would be how much real quality time now that the cameras aren't involved, do you get with the Donald, during an average week?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, to be honest with you, when this whole thing happened and when I won, I thought, okay, I'll probably never see Donald Trump again.
That's what I would think.
And that hasn't been the case. Surprisingly, he's taken a very active role in teaching me and showing me how business is conducted at his level. I mean, it's at the highest level there is. So.
Now, Bill, when he's doing this, is he doing this without cameras?
Without cameras. He calls me on my cell phone almost every day.
Oh, really?
And I spend, a great deal of my time in New York with him.
And the other question I would want to ask you, because I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but it's no secret, it's been in the press, that things have been a little shaky as far as the Donald Trump casino empire, and I was wondering whether that has caused any tension in the Trump organization?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at his portfolio, I mean, his casinos, it's 5% of his portfolio.
Right, yeah, I read that.
At the end of the day, he's a developer, and he's in real estate, and that's what he does best. And this guy, he knows how to build buildings, and he knows how to how to really deliver.
So how we can say he knows how to build them quickly.
Yeah, we lived in one for a while in New York.
There was one going up next door to us, and I couldn't believe how fast it was.
The one that you're in charge of in Chicago, right?
That's correct, yeah.
90 stories, is that what I heard?
It's 90 stories. We've got 220 hotel condominiums, and you're familiar with the unit in New York where we have and Columbus Circle. It's hotel condominiums. And then we have 461 residential condominiums.
So I know that there's stuff that you can't say because it's business, but give me a guesstimate of the cost of this project. Start up, you dig a hole, you make one hell of an erection, you've got a big building. By the time you open it up and you get the first person in the condo or the office suite,
It's about a $700 million project.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? The beauty is this thing is already 75% sold out.
Yeah, well, not too many
developers can do that on a building of this magnitude where, you know, we're breaking ground next month and we're already, we have hard contracts, real money.
Is this going to be
75% sold out?
Is this going to be 90 stories of almost solely residential, or are you going to have the whole thing in there, like office space?
We'll have, on the street level, we'll have, commercial boutiques, we'll have high-end restaurants and shopping, but it's all hotels, luxury hotel suites, and then residential condominiums.
Wow.
I'm watching the Apprentice, and you are on the. How many of the new episodes are you going to be on?
I'm in a handful. I come back very soon. I start filling in for George.
And
so.
Technically, when is the end of your obligated contractual run working for Donald Trump?
It's technically a year. I mean, we've kind of left the door open. And I think, when this is all over, whether it's a year, whether it's a year and a half, 2 years, I mean, my goal isn't to become a 20-year employee. My goal is to, hopefully be doing real estate deals with Donald Trump and have him back me in a deal of my own.
Now, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because you see a lot of these people, we get them all now on the show, all the reality show people.
I think we're a little different than Boston.
Yeah, they all want this, like the guy Rupert wanted just to win Survivor so he could get a TV show on Animal Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you don't want an ad campaign. You don't want a TV show.
I'm a business guy. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur ever since I was a kid, and this is kind of what separates me, I think, apart is, I've owned businesses. I own CigarsAroundTheWorld.com. It's been a business for 10 years. In college, I had a boat wash and wax business. I mean, I am, I think, by definition, a true entrepreneur.
And that's what you want to stay doing?
Oh, that's what I love doing. I mean, that's enjoyment.
So, based on your resume, you probably wouldn't want to work for the man. Do you see yourself staying or going after the year's over?
Well, I'll stay as long as I'm learning, and I have a lot to learn still. I mean, that's the beauty, and when I'm ready, I want to go and do a real estate deal of my own. I mean, fortunately, I've been developing real estate for the last 3 years in Chicago, so. Obviously not on the level that Donald Trump is, and with his support, I hope to be developing projects that are much larger than I would have been able to do on my own.
You a married guy or a single guy?
Single.
Now, has this worked out for you with the chicks?
You know what? You think so, right? But
yeah.
I've been so busy, it's tough.
You don't even get a quickie?
The Donald himself finds time for the beautiful ladies.
You know what? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? I wish that was part of the one of the fringe benefits.
And you mentioned you're in the learning curve right now. You're learning. What would be the number one thing you've learned from the entire not the TV show, but
you're
actually,
not going to get you win this show. You're not going to get.
I think one of the things that was really reinforced, by going on the show and by working with Donald Trump is that it's okay to make mistakes. And I think so many people hold themselves back because they're afraid to make a mistake.
Hey, who is that?
They don't even try. And, Donald Trump's made mistakes. I mean, every great business tycoon has made mistakes.
Well, let me ask you the name of a throw out a famous businessman, and you tell me what you think. Alan Linewand.
Ever heard of him?
Alan Linewalk?
Linewand.
Refresh my memory.
Well, nobody seems to know him.
Bill, has your relationship with Donald Trump allowed you the opportunity to meet Regis Philbin?
It has.
It has.
I've been on Regis's show.
And please to tell us your impressions of Regis Philbin.
Yeah, but
we've been obsessed with Regis Philbin on this show.
I got to know him in a couple different settings. One, when we were taping The Apprentice, He was part of one of the episodes.
Right.
And then after The Apprentice, I was on his show, and then he also was at Donald Trump's birthday party.
Now, that's the Regis
also,
we'd like to know about. The one.
I really liked him, and he's been good to me.
What is and now, how does
a
he?
A lot of fun.
Does he drink? How does he behave at the birthday party?
He's a funny guy. I mean, he's like he is on TV. He's full of energy. He likes to talk to people. I mean, I think that's why he's so successful at what he does. He's being himself.
All the people that were on The Apprentice that you were on, we had Sam on. We liked him. He was a good, funny guy. Amorosa, we didn't have her on. But did you like her or hate her or feel indifferent about her?
During the show, I never had a problem with her, and I never was really on her team. But then I kind of lost a lot of respect for her. I mean, obviously that last episode...
Didn't we have a fight with one
pretty
guy?
Pretty damning evidence. She was, just blatantly lying. But we did Larry King together, and she was on the Larry King show and just basically telling Larry King that she was scripted and that we were all rehearsed. And I said, I had to interrupt Larry. I said, Larry, I can't handle this lying anymore. I mean, this is
creating
a bunch of BS. It was ridiculous.
And there's one other guy I have to ask you about. Do you remember a contestant named Nick?
Nick Warnock, yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
Oh, no.
We
had a horrible fight with
him. He's a big jerk face.
Is he really?
Well, yeah. we found him, I mean, to be completely over-the-top, egomaniacal, and cocky when he came on the show. And
Nick's an actor.
Oh, he's an actor.
So, I mean, that's part of his shtick.
Oh, so
he's an actor.
And we didn't know that going through the show, but
of course you can.
He's now in a TV show, in a series, and he's got a whole acting
Hey, Bill, what is the worst thing that you would say has happened from being involved in? What's something that you just would rather not have had, effect that you don't care for with all this stuff?
Well, I mean, there's certainly going to be a lot of critics out there, I mean, and that's something that you have to deal with, and you just accept it as part of this experience and part of the job description. I mean, before I lived my life pretty much, under the radar. And now, a lot of people are watching every move I make.
Because they're watching, let me ask, are you dating Carol?
Who?
Trump's assistant.
Oh, Carol? No, come on.
No, come on. No, no, be honest with me.
That's ridiculous.
You're not dating her.
Carol?
Do you swear?
I heard that I was dating Amy, but never Carolyn.
Are you sure?
Am I sure? She's married with two children. I'm positive.
Okay. And because,
she's happily married.
And this might be a tough question.
Oh, hold on. I'm getting it mixed up right, because Carolyn is the older one.
She's not that old.
Is it Amy?
Amy's a lot of people, there was speculation that her and I were dating.
And because you
were you dating her?
No.
Are you dating her?
Absolutely not.
You're not dating anyone currently?
I am not dating anyone.
Are you dating the old guy?
George, yeah, he's a good-looking man, isn't he?
Yeah.
And this might put you on the spot.
That guy's in great shape for his age. Yeah, the guy who takes good care of himself. I must say.
You're in the building now. You're in the operations. I must ask you. The hair, because we wouldn't be doing our duty if we didn't ask about the hair.
Up close and personally, it is what it is. It works for him.
No, come on.
Honest to God, it's real.
It's real. You can tell that he's in the Trump organization.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would tell you if it wasn't.
Didn't we have some guy that really commented on the hair that was like closely involved?
Yeah, it might have been Sam.
I think Sam
said something.
Sam was out of there in the third week. He doesn't know anything.
Okay.
I mean, Sam's met Trump maybe three times.
Us Weekly says that you're dating Ben Affleck. Is that true?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of.
You never know.
All right. Now, listen, Bill, here's the final question, and thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Whoever wins this next Apprentice, do you think that you have set the bar, feel free to be egotistical, do you think that you've set the bar too high for the next person? In other words, have you done such a good job, really, doing the job that the next person, when they get the job, Trump's going to say to them, hold on, look what Bill did.
Mm-hmm.
Bill did this, and Bill did this, and Bill did this.
Well, I mean, that would be very flattering and nice, but these are all very qualified people. I mean, they're tough competitors. They're very educated, and I think, whoever the winner is, will do a great job. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that they're gonna hit it out of the park, and hopefully I will pave the way for them to make their life you know, make their road more more successful.
But let's say that a very sweet, good-hearted person wins this edition of The Apprentice, someone you like personally, maybe not in a physical way, but you like them and you respect them, and it comes to a point in the near future after they've won where it's either you fire that person or you get fired. Would you fire that person?
Well, it's survival of the fittest.
Attaboy. Business. Attaboy.
I most definitely would.
And you haven't had a chance to meet any, like, supermodels or anything during this whole run?
Not that want to date me.
Oh, man. you got to get cracking on that, Bill, really.
I know. I definitely have to set aside more time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People Magazine says that you're dating Elizabeth Taylor.
I am. I can't believe they broke that already.
All right, Bill. I can't believe you broke that
anymore.
Either. Yeah, Bill, thank you.
I was going for Liza Minnelli, but...
he's available.
Okay. All right, hey, Bill, thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you having me on.
The Apprentice on tonight at 9, 8 Central on the NBC channel.
Good luck in the Trump organization, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, bye-bye. See you later. See, he's a good reality TV guy.
He answered all the questions, you know, handled everything we threw at him.
Speaking of Trump, did you hear what he said about the Emmy Awards?
What?
Because, you know, he did not win the best,
yes,
whatever reality
right,
show.
Right, right.
He said that Donald Trump feels the Emmys have lost some credibility.
Oh, my God. I think he was lying about the hair, though.
Of course he is. He's got his head so far up Donald Trump's rear.
It's real. He calls me every day.
Funny. Yeah, Regis. Wouldn't you love the true story?
Yeah.
Regis is bombed. He's got his shirt off, just a necktie on around his neck.
Man, I want to be as powerful as the Donald.
Kiss me, Bill.
Hey, Mr. Trump, it's Bill. Regis is right.
What did that old woman say yesterday?
Same thing.
World where turning a radio was strictly forbidden.
What?
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Me.
He made it up.
It sounded like she said, "I'm raping him," and she said, I raised him.
Raised him. Right.
Raised yeah. him.
Shut up and please me.
What is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, Jimmy Swaggart's message to gay men. Hey, sorry about the death threat.
My man.
Wow.
J.S., my man.
Wow.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
How about that? That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello?
Oh, my God. It's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Station break. Farmington, Iowa. It's KCPS. Norfolk, Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach. BBA, Wichita, Buzz's hometown. That would be KFHFM. Portland, Oregon, it's Max. 910. And also Salem, Oregon. KSLM. Right. The station's on our network. That guy Bill Ranzig has a book out called You're Hired. Go to Amazon.com to find that. Time for Buzz's news and comment. Buzz brought to us by Smoke Break.
This is good. Smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break is revolutionary for smokers. It's a tablet now at fine retailers. And here is Guy Bertley. Hi, Buzz.
Oops.
Hi, yeah, Donald and Mike.
That would help.
Hey, you know, the word Christian literally...
Buzz?
When?
Excuse me, we do have breaking news.
Oh, really? Well, let's get to that.
A breaking news story?
Mm-hmm. What's happened?
He just hung up.
Oh.
Tom Gavin was calling with an update on his hip replacement surgery.
And he hung up.
And the line just...
If he calls back, put him right through.
Well, we'll break. When news breaks, yes, we break in.
Call me if his condition worsens.
That's
right.
Was it Tom or was it Tom's spokesman?
It leads.
Oh, it'll bleed.
Hi,
yeah.
Buzz.
Oh, yeah, it weeps. The word Christian literally means Christ-like. So when Christian evangelist Jimmy Swaggart said he'd kill a guy who looked at him romantically, is that what Jesus would do? In his televised worship service of Sunday, September 12th, Swaggart said, and I gleefully quote, "I've never seen a man I wanted to marry, and I'm going to be blunt and plain.
If one ever looks at me like that, I'm going to kill him and tell God he died. The studio audience.
The jolly swag man.
You know, I now think, because Jimmy Swaggart has been out of the limelight for so long.
Right.
I now think of Jimmy Swaggart as Alec Baldwin in the Jerry Lee Lewis movie. Yeah, I don't think of Jimmy Swaggart as Jimmy Swaggart. I think of the character that Alec Baldwin played in Great Balls of Fire.
He had the little the wire-rim glasses. Alec Baldwin was the laid-back. What was he? Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin?
Cousin. Right. And he's Jimmy Swaggart.
Because
Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin is really... Jimmy Swaggart really is Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin.
Makes sense.
Correct.
Yeah. And a lot of people still believe him and follow him, even though he seems irrelevant. Perhaps millions still watch him.
Have you seen the ad for the Alec Baldwin movie that opens tomorrow?
Which one?
It's like it's an independent-looking film, right?
It's with Matthew Vehicular Manslaughter Broderick and
Tony Shalhoub.
And the guy from Monk.
Right.
And it's something about, like, Alec Baldwin is a wise guy, wants to get a movie made.
And they make people, like, they make critics give a positive review or something because they're tough guys.
And Frieda was watching, I don't know, Access Hollywood, Entertainment, The Inside, something. Anyway, she was telling me that Alec Baldwin was incredibly fat in this interview.
He's pretty stocky,
You know, and he's a guy that can hide it if he's got the right clothes and if he's in the right pose. Mm-hmm. But I think it must be similar to that day that we saw him on the Sharon Osbourne show.
That's when he was big. He fluctuates dramatically.
He's a guy who could benefit from clothes that look good when you sit down. Remember we talked about that the day? He's fine.
Yes.
He kind of looks okay, a little stocky when he's standing.
Right. Stand-up clothes as opposed to sit-down clothes.
He sits down, everything puckers.
Man, if I wasn't lazy, I'd stand up all the time.
And then on the Sharon Osbourne show, it was when he was in bed. Because remember, she showed
that
right
when they were in bed?
Yeah. Wearing, like, PJs or something. Or a big, like, silk shirt.
An Elton John caftan.
So Swaggart says the guy looks at him like that, he'll kill him until God he die. The studio audience, I mean the congregation of other Christians there in Louisiana, went up in a round of laughter and applause.
Who knew that the jolly swag man even had some
thought he was gone. I thought he wasn't even on TV
Sunday
anymore.
Mornings, flip it on. Although Swaggart was blunt and plain at the time, he now says he was joking about the killing and lying to God. Swaggart says, you can't lie to God. Does that mean not even about the Christian thing?
If you look under S... I bet we have something.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some Jimmy...
Used to.
What is this? Jimmy Swaggart?
I need it. I need it one more time.
What was his big deal? What was his controversy?
Wasn't it a hooker?
Might have been a hooker.
Didn't he pick up a hooker like at a convenience store parking lot?
And we used to have a great time. I have sinned against you. I'll beg you.
I need it one more time.
Forgive me.
He's strictly hetero.
Mm-hmm. What needs to be kept in mind is he was cut from the same great intellectual cloth as Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. That's right.
I need it one more time.
Yeah, the jolly swag man.
Cousin!
Oh, and that dramatic death.
Found it.
Oh, good.
All right, hold on. Oh, you're right. It is, and it's good.
Will you send a one-time gift in January?
Wrong guy.
Will you do it?
That's Oral Roberts.
That's Oral Roberts, even though the label says Jimmy Swaggart.
And the other guy was Ernest Ainsley, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, the other guy was Jimmy Swaggart.
No, but we have Ernest Ainsley tapes
too.
We have
them all.
Yeah. And we have Robert Chilton, too.
Yeah, the guy. So what?
Bobby.
We
also have, somewhere, we have Jim and Tammy Faye tapes.
Oh,
way back from the PTL past the Loot Club.
Yeah, it's nice to know Jimmy Swaggart's still hanging around.
Some amount God lays on your heart. Could you send $100? Is God putting $1,000 on your heart?
On your ass.
More or less, or $10, or $5? Please help extend my life.
God hates you.
We lack $4.5 million between now and March. Help us.
Pound sand.
Help us.
Get bent.
Help us.
Shut up.
On your heart.
Well, what language is that?
Idiot.
What the hell?
Televangelist.
Really?
Yeah. So much for Swaggart's death threat. Now, the dramatic death threat against the president was apparently a hoax. Tuesday, we were told that the Secret Service, and they were, investigating Larry Wade of upstate New York. On Monday, New York City cops clamped down on the part of Manhattan.
Larry of the corner.
Being visited that day by the president to keep Larry Wade out of the area.
I'm Larry.
No, I think they would let Larry King in, but Larry Wade they were trying to keep out. We were told that Larry had left the house with a rifle and told his neighbors he wouldn't be back.
Probably, yes.
Now, when we say neighbors, it turns out that means the teenaged boys next door.
Oh, boy.
Who may have also spray-painted the words dead man next to a picture of the president inside Larry's house.
And I'll beat you.
To frame Larry.
Oh, boy.
Wow. The warrant for Larry's arrest has now been dropped.
Well, where's Larry?
They still haven't found him.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Well, wait a minute.
He's out of town.
But if they haven't found him, I'd still be a little nervous.
But I know where he is.
Yeah.
Where are you, Larry?
Oh, I know where he is.
New York. My hometown, New York.
Where they need to look, then.
Thank you, Larry.
The president's been saying that America's safer, but a new report on airport security might make you wonder. Undercover government investigators were able to get weapons and explosives past the screeners at 15 U.S. airports.
You don't want to alarm anybody, do you?
Of course not,
Mike. You love this, Buzz. You love this.
Oh, it's not just the screeners. Our equipment was unable to detect the kind of explosive that brought down two Russian jetliners last month. A Republican lawmaker says the results on weapons were, in his words, bad enough, but he says the results on explosives were, quoting again, absolutely horrendous.
So here's a question. We've got the 9/11 Commission, and they put out this big, gigantic phone book-like document of what to do.
Uh-huh.
And regardless of if you're for Bush or for Kerry, they're both for making America safer.
Absolutely.
How come no one's reading this book?
Well, the president has read it and says he will implement some of those recommendations.
Okay. Buzz?
Yes?
Boy, you know, what do I want to say?
What do you
want? What is it that Bush will or will not put in to make the airports safer?
I haven't read what he plans to do about the airport specifically.
Because, you know, I know that we like...
Well, no matter who's in there, it's going to take... it's the way the wheels turn in D.C.
That too, yeah.
I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, no matter who's president, even if you wanted to do all of them, it probably wouldn't happen overnight.
Do it overnight, absolutely.
Yeah, but you could do... But it's been now over 3 years since 9/11.
Well, there's a money issue too, you know. We're fighting a war.
Yeah. Another agency, there's no way around it. Another agency's report in the last year.
I wasn't making any comment on anything.
I know you weren't. I just wonder how come, no matter if it was Bush or Kerry.
I finally got to watch my guy on Letterman, and I actually...
You're right.
You were absolutely right about the prepackaged comedy, which was forced and stuff, but everything else he had to say, I thought he was clear, and I understood what he was saying.
Yeah, but
I kind of dug it. It was actually the first TV show that he went on where, you know, I don't think he was trying to be until the very end when he tried to be funny, and that was horrible. That really was horrible. But when he was serious... I thought he was pretty clear, and it was pretty simple to understand.
No matter who's...
No, he's okay when he's not trying to be funny.
That's right. No matter who's president, not all of these recommendations would be in place yet, but only one of these guys is saying America's safer.
Man, it just freaks me out, though.
It worries me. I was just at the airport to pick up my wife last week, and it's nuts at the airport. I'm talking about Dulles International now. If you're there and you're dropping somebody off or you're waiting for someone, there's great security because there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't even get into like where the Burger King
is better, no doubt.
To get into where the Burger King is unless you have a ticket to get on an airplane.
Yeah, remember that thing right after 9/11 at Dulles Airport where they brought all the people that weren't from foreign countries in to handle security?
Right.
It's nice to see they've relaxed that.
Oh, really?
And I mean really relaxed.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that as well. I had about an hour to spend at the airport waiting for my wife because her plane was late.
I don't mean to discriminate against anybody. I really don't. But I think if you're normal and you're going through an airport and you react to these things the same way and somebody says, "May I see your ID, please?" It's going to make you just a little nervous.
Well, if he's got the uniform.
It was a she.
Okay.
It was a she. Yeah.
And I did notice that they're patting down people now. You have to take off your jacket, and you have to get patted down, which just seemed to slow the line down.
But what freaks me out about this story, if they're talking about getting explosives through those machines that cost billions of dollars.
Even this, another agency report, a different agency, but within the last year, showed that it's still possible to board a plane with a box cutter, one of the weapons used on 9/11.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But we got Cat Stevens out of the country. The singer known as Yusuf Islam says about being deported, he's commenting now.
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. We got rid of him.
Quoting Cat Stevens or Yusuf Islam, half of me wants to smile, half of me wants to growl.
See, now Buzz
does. He does sound dangerous.
There's good news, there's bad news.
Uh-huh. You know, John Stewart, I think it was on the Today Show. Maybe it was when he was being interviewed because he's promoting his book. I don't know if we had this line or what, but I think it was John Stewart's. So he looked suspicious because he was being followed by a moon shadow.
Well, our government still won't say why he's on the watch list or why he was deported, except that it's for national security reasons.
But the good news is that
We got him, but the bad news is, like you said, guys are still getting explosives and stuff through.
Right.
No problem. But Cat Stevens, we nailed his ass.
Yeah.
We nailed his ass.
The singer, by the way, you'll be pleased to know that he says he was treated well by the people who threw him out of the country. He says some of the U.S. security guys seemed really happy about getting his autograph.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, we've got a lot of people on that list, and it's not just people like Cat Stevens.
Right.
On that list, the Stray Cats. Also, Marshall Crenshaw, Billy Squire.
Good.
Billy Squire. No, that's an injustice.
Messina, but not Loggins.
Jimmy Messina.
Hall, but not Oates.
Wow. Interesting.
That's wrong.
And four of the five-man electrical band. And Hamilton and Joe Frank, but not Reynolds.
Yeah.
And 87 members of Haircut 100. For those who remember. Those who serve.
Well, the singer says he had no trouble. In fact, he did have no trouble flying through the U.S. earlier this year when he was here to promote a DVD and to appear at a charity benefit. For the record, Yusuf Islam has condemned terrorism, but quoting him from London, for God's sakes, people make mistakes.
Morning is broken.
So he's forgiving. The U.S., the president, rather, is on record as having trouble keeping his terrorists straight. It's more than just a slip of the tongue. He's made this same mistake, the one you're about to hear, in public, not once, not twice. 11 times. He did it on Monday in New Hampshire, told the crowd that the late terrorist Abu Nidal killed an American on the Achille Lauro in 85. He repeated that statement at that appearance to make sure everyone got it.
Right.
And then he repeated it again at a different appearance that night in New York City. In fact, the president has said this on at least 10 other occasions while talking about how he connects Iraq with terrorism. The man who really killed Leon Klinghoffer was the head of a violent Palestinian group. His name is Abul Abbas, not Abu Nidal. The White House has no comment.
All the Abus.
I mean, they listen.
I got it. They get all squirrely in my brain.
Kind of sound the same.
Oh, man, I tell you, we're concerned about AIDS in our White House.
John Kerry, meanwhile, is demoralizing our soldiers.
I think, generally speaking, if your first name, especially your first name, ends with a U.
A U.
Mm-hmm. You better watch out. No pun intended.
Yeah.
You better not watch out.
And you better not cry.
You better not pout.
Yes, it's a little chilly here.
We're already in the spirit of the season.
Is coming to town.
John Kerry, meanwhile, is demoralizing our soldiers in Iraq, according to the president. So that's what has the troops down. President Bush says it's because of mixed signals Kerry sends with all his flip-flopping. Quoting Bush, you cannot expect our troops to continue to do the hard work if they hear mixed messages from Washington, D.C. Kerry responded that Mr. Bush is, quote, living in a make-believe world, unwilling to tell the truth or understand the situation in Iraq.
Here's what I wish. That all this stuff that you're saying.
Right.
When's their first debate? Next week?
Yes. Next Thursday in Miami, Florida.
Okay. You know what? Have the stones to say this stuff
to each
when you're on
face.
TV. Mm-hmm.
Right.
When you're looking at him face to face. Don't read it off a prompter. Don't have a guy tell it to you in your ear. Don't go off a script.
I was reading about the debates and the preparations for the debates and how much they're going through really was an amazing negotiation to get all this stuff. And I think it's going to be an interesting debate. I think that they've thrown out all the stuff that would help either one of them, and it's going to be mano y mano, I hope. I think that's what it looks like.
There you go.
I have no idea what this is.
Why are we playing this?
John Kerry's make-believe world.
Make-believe music.
Oh.
Oh, I understand. Make-believe music.
Make-believe.
And really, all these charges and countercharges. Is this any way for cousins to talk about each other? Bush and Kerry are cousins, according to genealogists in England. Their common ancestor, dating back to the 1600s, was Edmund Reed, who was a town gentry in Essex. That means he was a rich guy who traveled in high social circles.
Cousin?
Quoting an American genealogist, the facts certainly do add up. Reed's family eventually came here on the Mayflower.
Maybe they're also related to Cousin Ed.
Nobody's related to him.
Hey, cousin.
Cousin! What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property. Cousin!
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
Buzz,
yes.
we're up on a break.
Yes, we are. And
what's next?
Up next, CBS and a witch hunt indecency update.
CBS.
CBS.
Dan Rather, very. Hey, check out Dan Rather the last couple of nights.
Oh, those bags right over the eyes.
If that dude doesn't look like he's about to jump, oh man, put him in. You know what you got to do? You got to tie him down when he's sitting at the news desk. Mm-hmm.
Just like when he did the hurricane cover.
Yes.
Strap him to the desk.
That's right. With a belt.
Same thing.
Same difference, right?
Dan Rather, strapped to my news desk.
Dan Rather, I want to say something. I've lost everything. All credibility. 40 years over one freaking document. I'm Dan freaking Rather.
I mean, that is a guy, of all the anchors, you see it all over his face. You really do.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's great to watch.
Yeah, have Andy Rooney give him a back rub.
with his eyebrows.
Sure.
Buzz. Oh, Dan
Indecency
Rather.
Update.
Yes, and Indecency. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Zero tolerance for stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, we're buzzing news now. You watched the CSI with this song last night?
Mm-hmm.
The CSI New York?
Yes, I didn't see it, but I know they're using this for the promo.
A lot of people have asked me, because I love CSI. Everybody does.
It's not bad, is it? It really, I mean, it's just a great song.
Oh, no, I was talking about the TV show.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm glad we were discussing whether they should use this song or not. And I like the fact that they're using this song.
You know, I'm going to have to go through my Who catalog.
Right.
I think there was probably, I mean, obviously you can't use, like, Squeezebox.
I think this song would be great for any TV drama.
No.
It's just, it's you know, I think it fits.
They use just the beginning part. It doesn't get to the part where they sing. And, man, how many times do people call and say, can I hear Teenage Wasteland?
Uh-huh.
And then you, I'd
that
say, no, but I'd be glad to play Baba O'Reilly.
That's the name of the song.
Well, that ain't what I want to hear.
I thought it was really good last night. I mean, obviously it's a spinoff, but it's real solid.
How's Sinus?
It was amazing. I don't know how they did the special effects.
See his legs.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Well. You ain't got no legs with Santa Dan.
He is cut from the same cloth as David Caruso.
Oh, really?
But I mean, it works.
It's CSI.
Yeah,
it's
the formula.
And the color, incidentally, is gray and blue.
Bluish.
That is the tint that they have, the hue.
Funny, he doesn't look bluish.
That they have. He works blue. And, the other one last night, Law & Order.
Right.
With Dennis Farina.
Uh-huh.
I like Dennis Farina. I'm a huge Dennis Farina fan.
He's
I'm a
great.
Big Law & Order fan.
He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to work out.
He ain't going to fit that formula?
You know, they had a hard time just throwing him in the first episode last night and trying to establish his personality.
Yeah, give
you
it
know,
time.
You don't know if he's mobbed up or not. You don't know if he's a tough guy or not.
I hope it works. It'll be terribly exciting.
He was on last night.
Was he on?
There was a lot of him last night.
Senator Fred Thompson.
Yes.
Ross? Ross, I'll tell you, the sentence is too taxing. I'm going back to acting full time.
Here's every scene that guy ever has on Law and Order.
Good.
Every scene. He is sitting in a beautiful library with, like, cherry wood, and he's got a glass of what appears to be scotch or bourbon.
And I heard you say the line yesterday, well, you better fish or cut bait.
Now, that's acting.
That's it.
Robinson's residence.
Jim, is this a bad time?
No, just dressing. Going to a charity do. What's happened?
Rats.
Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous.
Tremendous.
But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Now, come ahead.
Kiss your good lady for me.
Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend. This is terribly exciting. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
Kiss your good lady for me.
Kiss your good lady for me.
Hello!
And there she is.
I will be surprised if CBS pays the fine it got yesterday for the Janet Jackson incident. It's the biggest fine in broadcast history, $550,000 plus another $27,500 for each of the 20 stations the network owns.
Insanity.
And here's the thing that I don't get. The FCC is not even hiding the fact.
Mm-hmm.
In all the transcripts that you read, all of the accounts, the reason that they're doing this is because Howard Stern works for CBS.
Yes.
That is a big part of it. I mean, the radio, whatever's done on the radio, decent or indecent, is one thing.
Right.
Her boob coming out on TV is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, what the FCC is publicly saying is, well, If it had been anybody else, we wouldn't be this bad. Mm-hmm. But being as it's CBS and they have that bad Howard Stern show.
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, come on.
Publicly,
please.
The FCC says the exposure was planned and that it drew a record number of complaints, 500,000. Janet says it was an accident. The network says whatever it was, it doesn't meet the FCC's own guidelines for indecency. CBS has apologized, something it's getting good at.
But here's the thing about all of that.
Uh-huh.
This is why it's all irrelevant.
Yeah? Why?
Correct me if I'm not wrong. Didn't Howard Stern invent boobs?
Yes, mm-hmm. He did, as okay. I recall.
He did. So, never mind, it's a moot case.
Yeah, he invented that also. And he invented the other part, too.
Right.
And by the way, we have to go, but Tigger is in trouble again. The same guy who played Tigger and sometimes Goofy at Disney World in Orlando has now been charged with groping the breasts of coworkers.
Oh, now, is this the same Tigger?
Same guy.
There's
same
a tape of him
guy.
Right there. Listen to Tigger.
That would indicate when you hear that sound, you don't want to get close to the fuzzy character.
So it's the same guy in the same smelly suit
Yes. That
keeps touching.
Well, sometimes he wears the smelly Goofy suit, but yeah, it's the same guy.
So he's now been accused of groping both patrons and coworkers.
That is correct. Now, he was cleared of groping patrons, but now, in the shadow of that, he's been charged with groping coworkers.
That is one horny tiger.
Finally.
I was like, you know, that is an alligator sound effect.
I like it. Tigery to me.
Kind of fits whatever we're doing.
Finally, we've heard before about how lovemaking can burn calories, but a dietitian in Italy has broken it down. He says you can burn all the calories from a pizza with just 26 minutes of passionate love. 53 minutes of French kissing can burn all the fat from French fries and a hamburger.
You didn't like that 26 minutes, did you?
Yeah. How much?
Well, that's the whole affair.
How many calories you burn if you're in there in the batting cage for a good solid 90 seconds?
Yeah, probably not countable.
You might want to order the vegetarian pizza.
You think so?
Yeah. Now, I just have a few here.
I probably have to have it without the crust. I probably just have to peel the stuff off the top.
Mm-hmm. Don't have a stuffed crust.
15 minutes of that special favor burns all the calories from the glass of wine that precedes it. To unhook a bra, 8 calories with 2 hands.
Fonzie could do that with 1 hand.
18 calories with 1 hand. And
you're right, Robbie. Fonzie could do it by snapping his fingers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that burns almost no calories at all. So it's 8 calories with 2 hands, 18 calories with just 1 hand, and a whopping 87 calories burned if you do it with your teeth.
Oh!
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz. Sorry, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Ay-ay-ay.
All right.
That's a bad-sounding tape.
Yeah, do it with your teeth.
Gotta go.
Thank you, Bill Rancic.
Thank you, Bill.
Who was on The Apprentice? His show, his TV, a book, I'm fired.
You're hired.
You're hired. Amazon.com.
Uh-huh.
Cabo Wabo Meltdown will give away the trip tomorrow.
Ooh.
With Sammy Hagar, round trip airfare. And that is courtesy of Cabo Wabo. Tomorrow on the show, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Go to NFL.com. And that's it. That's it. We're out of show.
Yeah. Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Please stay tuned for our buddies Ron and Fez coming up next on WJFK, also on Live 105, and in Tampa Bay on 1010. The Buzz.
Very good.
We like Ron and Fez, and we hope you like their show. They're coming up next. We will see you tomorrow with the new episode, Good Day to You, Sir.
Good day again.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I know, and tomorrow it's Joan's birthday, too.
That's right. Big surprise.
Big surprise tomorrow.
Everybody lick your teeth.
And you?
Happy birthday, Carrie.
Yeah, it's Rob's wife's birthday.
You'll have a good evening.
Yes, we will. Lots of joy.
Celebrate.
Oh, I see. We got to go. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.